ദ്വയം സുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദ കി ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിൽ പ്രഭുപാദ കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർ കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്കി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംകി മായപ്പൂർ ധാംകി മധുരപുരി ധാംകി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംകി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംകി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദേ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories to Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishwapadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Srimade Bhaktivedanda Swami Nidhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന കൃതിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം അധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനി കർണേന വേലാ കുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപ്പതൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഊർധ്വം ഗച്ഛന്തി സത്വസ്ഥ മധ്യേ തിഷ്ഠന്തി രാജസാഹ ജഘന്യ ഗുണവൃത്തിസ്ഥ വൃത്തസ്ഥ അധോ ഗച്ഛന്തി താമസാഹ സോ ദ വേ ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഈവൺ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് പീപ്പിൾ ആർ ഇൻ ദീസ് ത്രീ ലെവൽസ് പീപ്പിൾ ആർ കൾട്ടിവേറ്റഡ് ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് സത്വഗുണം ദേ വിൽ ലിവ് ഇൻ എ ഹയർ പ്ലെയിൻ ഒബ്വിയസ്ലി ആൻഡ് ദോസ് ഹു ആർ ഇൻ ദി രജോഗുണം ദേ വിൽ ഇൻ വൺ പ്ലെയിൻ And those who are in the tamogunam, they will live in another plane. Even in this world itself, it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to leave the world to go somewhere else to become to become devadas, to become develop sattugunam. Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they are all within this periphery of maya. So the nature, Krishna is saying like this, that everyone's world is not the same, first thing. all of us have a different, we live in different world. Physically we are in this place, but our state of consciousness varies. So these three planetary systems exist within this world. Plane of existence, as it is called, right? And they will be keep moving up and down in these three planes of existence. And jaganam means bhogasthanam, where sense gratification happens. And that means, jaganam gunavartistam means you are going down. And that is what is called as svabhavam or buddhi. And ado gachandi, Krishna says, ado gachandi. Rakshasas are on that category. Rakshasas, nature, tamogunam. And they are all jaganya gunavartista, they are. All rakshasas, nature, in this world also. Jaganya gunavartista, right? And in other words, what that means is, jaganam is, the back of jaganam is muladharam. That means always staying in muladharam. The jiva doesn't rise from there. You know the chakras, one over the other. Muladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Manahatam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, Sahasraram. Like that. The chakras are stayed. So, Jagannam Gunavartistam means the jiva who lives in that area only. It doesn't rise at all. Keep enjoying senses and satisfied with that in life. That is Jagannam Gunavartistam. And Madhya Dishtandi Rajasaha. It comes, Rajogunam will... will come a little bit higher. Anahata Chakram. That's where they are. In Anahata Chakram area, the Rajogunis will stay. And one who have come to Ajna Chakram, they are the Satogunis. So you can see how this Krishna, what Krishna is saying here and what Paranjali is saying in the Yoga Sutram, they are together. There is no difference at all. The Chakram, Paranjali has spoken in terms of the Chakram. Krishna has spoken in terms of the modes of nature. That's it. So, lower chakra means lower modes. Middle chakra means middle modes. Rajogunam. Upper chakras means sattogunam. That's what it means, right? So, so basically, tamogunam means what to eat, what to drink, how to enjoy. That's all. No other thoughts in life. Nothing worries them more than that, right? So these three gunam Krishna has spoken. Now after this, Krishna is going to talk about gunatitan, one who has come out of the gunam. It's called gunatitan. Gunatitan is going to talk about that, right? And what is his technique? What does he do? How does he act, right? What is his speciality, right? All these three gunam is within prakriti, within maya. All within, happening within maya, right? So, so one who is in sattvagunam, he can come to the lower levels, to middle level, and he can even come to the lower level also, right? And similarly, the one who is in the middle, he can go to up and down, in both the sattvagunam and to the tamogunam. So, but one who has gone beyond the three gunam, that's what he's going to talk about it. So, sometimes you will find people in some sattvagunam, and sometimes in rajogunam, and sometimes in tamogunam. And these, within this, they can also experience sometimes brahmanubhavam. And so, Krishna is saying here, where we are, sometimes it's very difficult to know where we are at. But the mind is a good indicator of that, of our state of modes of nature. Which modes we are in, the best place to sense it is in the mind. You can see when you chant the holy name, doing some bhakti or satsangam, dhyanam, meditation and all that, you will stay in a sattvagunam level. Then you go into watching television or serials and other things, mobile doing all those things. So there you come, suddenly you experience Rajogunam there, coming in slowly, right? So one who has gone beyond all these three, Krishna is saying here, the power of his knowledge, jnanam ashritya, that is going to explain that, right? Krishna mentioned that in the second verse. You remember? In the second verse he mentioned that the idam jnanam upashritya, one who has got the knowledge, one who has taken shelter of the knowledge, idam jnanam upashritya, mama sadharma magada, as he mentioned there, right? So, one who has sargebi nobajayende playena vedanticha, second verse, we discussed that. Yeah, sarga means that while living here, one who is stuck in that, while living, one who is stuck in this, in sargam, that means who cannot come out of it, right? The only way he will escape is when he dies. He will escape from this only when he dies. He is not able to come out of it, right? So, a person who has escaped from that, what is his situation? Suppose, while living here, one who has escaped from this Maya. Maya is not like Iron Dome, you know. Israel's Iron Dome, where it catches all. It's not like, it is such a thing, you can't even notice it, and you are within that. So subtle that is, isn't it? So, that's what Krishna is saying here. That, what is his symptom? That's the next verse, yeah? Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanyu pashyari gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodigachyadi. You see that, what Krishna says? Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanyu pashyari gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodigachyadi. The person who has this knowledge has gone in, and when he is seeing himself separately from the gunam, not affected by the gunam, and he realizes that he is not affected by the modes, and able to remain aloof from the three modes of nature, then he is in my state, Krishna says. We will be like in Krishna's state, not touched by the modes of nature. Yeah? That's why madbhavam sodigachari. Gunebhyascha param veti. He has gone beyond the modes. He has become free from the modes. So that's not an easy thing. It's going to be very tough. But therefore, Krishna knows this very well. Therefore, he is saying to us, at least come to sattvagunam and leave the body. Even if you can't come out of the modes. It's not that simple as we say that you just stand a few rounds and you'll be go back home, God. That is not mentioned like that here. What Krishna is saying is that this, you are inside this network of the three modes, and if you can come out of it while living here, they are jivan muktas, liberated souls, right? They are like me, Krishna says. Madbhavam sodigachari. But if you can't do that, at least remain in the satyam mode, at least in the satyagunam. If you stay like that, that means he is not the one who has become realized. He sees the doer, karta, and he is not seeing one is bound. He is not feeling that he is bound, first thing. He is not bound, right? Because the modes of nature is not working in him. Nanyam karyakarana vishayagara pranadebhyo gunebhya kartaram anyam yadadrashta vidwan san na anubashari guna eva sarva avastaha sarvakarmanam kartaraha idi evam pashari gunebhyascha param gunavyabhara sakshi bhudam veti malbhavam mama bhavam sadrashta adigachari. So, body, senses, sense objects, all these things are under three modes of nature. Three modes of nature is everywhere, in everything, right? Even anything you take, it is in the lower modes of nature or higher modes of nature. So, one who can be free from all these things, deham, body, senses, sense objects, which are subjected to change. It is because of three modes of nature only, everything is changing. You see? Something if you take anything, for example, this will stay like this. You leave it for a few years, it starts changing, breaking up. Why is it breaking up? Modes of nature. It's working on it. Yes? So, and one who is seeing someone who is free from this, three modes of nature, he will see like this. What is an? He is not seeing karma. Karma is also under the three modes of nature. All the karma what we do is under three modes of nature. Traigunyal bhinna bhedam bhavadihi bhuvane heenam madhyamam uttamam. Three levels, right? Jnanam shraddhaja karta abhisukham karma chakara bhedaha. Our types of karma what we do in this world is also under three modes of nature. Our knowledge is under three modes of nature. Our shraddha is under three modes of nature. Everything under three modes of nature. So, one who knows this, that all karma is done by the three modes of nature, he is the one who has become free from the modes of nature. One who realizes that all the karma is done by the three modes of nature. One who realizes he has become free from the three modes of nature. Normally, we act according to our modes of nature, what is present in us. So, he is saying here, drashtanu pashyari, yada drashtanu pashyari. Drashta means sakshi, one so seer, one who is seeing that, atmadarshi. that means, avichinnena pashyati, means, avichinnena pashyati means that without any vichiti, without any interruptions or break, means that his knowledge is solid, it's not shaken. I mean, he is not any time disturbed inside by the modes of nature. And he is, where is he situated, right? He knows very well, I am not doing anything. Modes of nature is doing everything. And just like, you know, many things when you make with this urad dal, many things you make with urad dal, isn't it? Urad dal is not considered to be a good thing. It creates tamogunam in a person. Yeah. So, therefore, even though you may prepare many things with urad dal, right? Urad dal is also cause of diseases. It's considered to be cause of diseases, right? The thing is that not in the way, it is not spoken like the way sinful or pious, not in that sense. Right, but the chances are that uradal is can cause diseases over a period of time. Yeah, anushtana bhangam means that your spiritual activities can be broken. You will not be able to sustain in spiritual life. Right, a lot of problems will come. So therefore, Krishna is saying here that earlier he mentioned this, Krishna says, Kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna savilbhava. Right? So, that's the same thing what he is saying here. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati. In other words, naham karta ka rajida, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Not that, all that is in the mantra. Right? Just like when these brahmanas put their thread, they have that mantram to chant along with that, right? What that mantram says is that I have not done anything and everything is the Atma, is the witness of everything, right? So, in that mantram is recited for this reason only, that in order to give the strength, when they put the thread on, normally it's at 8 years old, their brahmacharis are given that thread, right? The impulse to engage in process of self-inquiry or self-realization. That's what that mantram talks about. Lust and anger, things like that, which can drag me out and do wrong things, and which comes from rajogunam, tamogunam, etc. All those things, even from satogunam, jnani don't accept all those things, right? So, jnani, or realized, one who is in the spiritual path, progressing, for him, karta bhokta, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, doesn't come to him. It doesn't happen in him. Because before the jnanam had come to him, before jnanam had come to him, the satogunam in him was so strong. And it is after that the knowledge has come. So first Sattugunam comes, and then when Sattugunam very intense inside, then the knowledge comes to him. Right? And because after that he is just a purely an instrument. That's the way he is able to act. So just like in material nature, if you look in Prakriti, there is the wind, the sky, the earth, the clouds, the sun, the moon. In the same way, he considers himself, he becomes like that, that a power in the nature. He becomes a power in the nature. For him, why is it like that? Because I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Kartrutva bhoktrutva has gone from him. This verse is very important. What Krishna has spoken so far, he is saying to us in one verse now, by presenting a person who has come out of the three modes. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram, Krishna says. Yada drishtanu pasyati, gunebhyascha param veti, malbhavam sodhi gacchati. Because he has not ahangaram inside, abhimanam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, you don't have to ask, he will do the right thing or the wrong, what he'll do the wrong thing. You don't have to ask that question. And it does not affect him either. Because he has not lust and anger, kamam, krotham inside, and selfishness has gone from him, he cannot do anything in a selfish way. He cannot do it anything in a selfish way, right? How did that happen to him? Because he has understood these three modes of nature very well. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And even while doing activities in Sattugunam, he does not identify with it. I am the doer is not there. Practically he has disconnected from the three modes of nature. So similarly Rajogunam, Tamogunam, whatever happens in the Rajogunam and Tamogunam also, he has no identification with it, right? So all activities are happening in the Prakriti, in the nature. He does not have any identification with it, that I am the doer. He has become free from that. When we do things, I am doing it. That's how we perceive it, isn't it? We all do karmam like that. I am the doer. I have done this, I have done that. That's how we say, right? So, and similarly, when he comes to this level, he does not think anymore in that way. I have to do this, I have to do that. In other words, that sticking, what we are sticking with, I am doing, that's not there in him anymore, right? Situated purely in the platform of the soul, and so what Krishna is expecting us, with cultivation of knowledge and identifying with Antaryami, and we have to learn the art of not being infected with the modes of nature. By taking shelter of Antaryami and identifying ourselves with the Antaryami, we have to remain in the state free from, not infected by the three modes of nature. Right? If that is not possible, I know it requires a lot of sharp intelligence and a good way of looking inwards and able to sense all these things. It requires tremendous power inside, right? If that's not possible, if you can get the association of liberated souls and stay with them, and with their association now and then cultivate the tattva-jnanam, knowledge from that, and acquire the surupanishta, that means establishing oneself in Antaryami, that experience one has to cultivate. That's what the option is. If it is not possible for one to do oneself, then taking the association of liberated souls and being with them and observing them and seeing their freedom from the body, their freedom from the modes of nature, observing that and learn from them how to remain in that state, how they are present. So that's the way it is. So you can see the difficulty, right? So if you keep saying that it's very difficult, there is no alternative, Krishna says. There's no other way, right? And suppose when you don't know anything, you have to go to the school first to learn A, B, C, D, whatever that is, right? Similarly, Krishna saying here that tattva-jnanam you have to acquire in this way, right? And then gradually come to this state, nanyam gunebhya kartaram. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram, right? Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati. So, from three modes, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, able to remain aloof from that and to able to stay as a witness to the three modes of nature and stay stable in that position, right? Going beyond the three modes, right? Just like the sky, clouds come there and clouds go. Sky is not affected by that. It gives space for the clouds to come. Similarly, inside us also, these three clouds come. Three different types of clouds, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, and you have to remain like the sky, unaffected by the three modes that's coming in, and able to situate like that, chidagasham. So that's gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gacchati, he said, right? So one who is in that state, in the platform of the self, he is a witness to the three modes coming and going in him. And therefore, what, just like a sakshi, he is like a sakshi at that time. When that happens, Krishna says, malbhavam sodhi gacchari. You are like Krishna's situation then, right? So, as a sakshi, when you become a sakshi, and when you see a sakshi and see the three modes of nature, he will know very well that the three modes of nature also, he will understand that it is coming from the Antaryami. That means Prakriti creates these three modes of nature, and three modes of nature gets its strength, able to operate like this, coming and going and all that, because of Antaryami's presence inside, right? What will happen is that when he realizes this, Tripudi goes away. Tripudi means that Drashtava Drishyam Darshanam. Seer, the seen, and the process of seeing. This is Tripudi. The seer, the seen, and the process of seeing. drashtava drishyam darshanam. All these three things goes away and satugunam, rajugunam, tamogunam does not bind him anymore. Right? He remains as a witness. So, one who is in that state as a witness, for him, only then you can call him as Sakshi. Sakshi. So, because he has come to that state of realization and nothing else exists for him apart from the self, he has become perfect now. That's that last line. Malbhavam sodhi gachadi means that. Yeah, Malbhavam sodhi gachadi. So this Malbhavam Krishna is talking about, that it is a state where he has become Brahmam. Practically, when Krishna says Malbhavam sodhi gachadi means you have become Brahmam. Brahmam realization has happened. What it means is that he was Brahmam before also. Only thing is now he has got that recognition in him. In other words, he has recognized that he was Brahmam before also. He is always Brahmam. He is not different anything. But due to three modes of nature, he has lost his that Brahman nature. But now, because the three modes are withdrawn from him, he has got back his Brahman identity. Aham Brahmasmi stage comes back to him. Yeah. So, it is not that he gets to know this, but he becomes that. He is Brahman always, isn't it? When modes of nature comes, he feels, identifies with the body and the modes of nature. And due to that, he goes through Prakriti. Prakriti, Swabhavam, everything comes to him. But once Prakriti withdraws, three modes of nature withdraws from him, Swabhavam goes away and he gets into his pure original state of Brahmam. He becomes Brahmam. Brahma with Brahmaiva Bhavati. Right? So, and in Shastram, what they call this is Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means recognizing something, what you were before. We lost our identity. Basically, we are running around in this world not knowing who we are, isn't it? Okay, we got a passport and all that. But that's for the body. Our real identity, we have lost it, is it not? So, getting back that identity, what we have lost, is this what Krishna is saying here. Malbhavam sodhi gachadi means our actual spiritual nature comes back to us. Yeah. So, in other words, that nature of Paramatma, Antaryami, when does that happen? Gunatitan. That's that state of Gunatita. Yeah. Gunebhyascha Paramveti means he has transcended the three modes of nature. Gunebhyascha Paramveti. He has become free from the Gunam. Gunam is not bothering him anymore. Three modes of nature don't bother him anymore. So, then the question comes that how will you recognize someone who is transcended the three modes? Gunadidan. Like, remember Arjuna asked a question, Siddha Prajna, how does he look like? How does he walk? How does he eat and all? Same way he's asking, how does the Gunadidan will be? Gunadidan means one who has transcended the Gunam, right? He cannot be like us. Is it not? Siddha Prajna is not like is not like us. Similarly, Gunadidan. You see, Bhagavad Gita will give you different names. Basically, it all means the same thing. Siddha Prajnatvam is Gunadidatvam. Both are same, practically. A state where you are free from Maya, in other words. Liberated state. That's what he's talking about, right? So, one person came to Tiruvannamalai and he was asking Ravana Maharshi this, where do I find someone who is not in the three modes of nature? Where do I find him? He said. So, Maharshi told him like this, right? Even if he is sitting right in front of you, you won't be able to recognize him. Because he is also eating, he is also sleeping, he is doing everything like everybody else is doing. But then where is the difference, right? And there must be some other speciality with him, isn't it? Yeah. This was the talks with Ravana Maharshi, you can read that in his book, right? And so Maharshi smiled and told him that, what do you think about him? What do you think he should be doing? Should he not eat? Should he not sleep? He asked question back, right? And the question is so difficult in the sense that what is his sarupam? What will be like when somebody has become free from the modes, right? We want to know because that's our goal. We want to be like that, right? And that is actually our sarupam, our spiritual nature. That is our actual sarupam. That's what we are, right? So you can call him as Tidapratnya, you can call him as Gunatita or Brahmanishta, one who is established in Brahman, right? So how will he live in this world? How will he act in this world? And that is why if you look at Mahalmas, they are not similar, all of them. We think that once you are liberated, they will all be doing in the same way, doing things, and their habits will be the same. It is not like that. Yeah. So, so the Jivan Muktas, liberated souls, right, they appear in this world doing different things. They are liberated, but as they are doing things are concerned, they will be doing things differently. Everybody does things differently, right? And if everybody, liberated souls, are similar, then it will not work properly, because the liberated persons, in their realized state, they are same, in the realized state. But their swabhavam is concerned, prakriti is concerned, it will be different. Everybody will be different. So, so that is why in all dimensions, in all phases of existence, you will find them. You will find them among women, among men, among children, among older people. You will find them in all different... Look at Bhagavatam. You will find this, right? Prahlada realized the truth in the womb, yeah? And Sri Shiva Brahmarshi, totally free from this world, wandered around in this world, completely free from the effect of prakriti, maya, right? Ambarish was a king. Very powerful king he was, Ambarish, right? Gopis were housewives, managing home, right? In this way, you find people coming from different backgrounds, but all liberated. You see the difference? They all did different things, right? Shuka Brahmarshi did something, Prahlada did something else. Ambarish was a king. Sudama was a Brahmana who lived in a village in a simple way. So, Bhagavatam is presenting to us that liberation doesn't mean that they will all do the same thing, always. They will all do different things. Their life will be different. But inside, they are different. They are all same. In other words, they are not affected by anything, what's happening around them, right? So, all of these devotees which are shown in the Bhagavatam, Prahlada, Ambarish, and Sudama, and similarly others also, Gopis, Uddhava, they are all different in their nature, what they did. So, what they had to do what they had to do in this world, they did that. But, knowledge level, realization level, they all knew what they are. They all knew who they are, right? So, and the Gunatitan, that means the Andaryami, who is not is such a nature actual identity. He is hiding behind everything else. And Atma, soul, Andaryami, is the Gunatitan. He is Gunatitan, right? Asangoyam, 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 Puna Puna. Vedam says Asangoyam. He has no Sangam anywhere. Andaryami is not affected by Gunam. All the rest of it is affected by the Gunam, right? So he had never had any sangam with any gunam. O Antaryami, right? Normally we talk about people who are very attached to family life and other things. It says they are very much into samsaram, samsari, we call them, samsari, right? samsaram is all because we have recognized that nature of a samsari, right? Strictly speaking, everybody is liberated. But we don't have, from our spiritual position, we don't have any sangam with anything, right? And they give this example for that, right? A girl, she grew up at home with the father, mother, with the parents, she grew up, right? And she was very much attached to her parents, father and the mother, up to say 20, 22, till she got married, right? She won't go anywhere, always cling to the husband, father or the mother, and always with them, right? And when she got married and she left home, father and mother was feeling very much affected by her going away. She's not going to stay with them anymore. She's going to another house to stay with her husband, in another place somewhere else, right? So, and then everyone felt very separation, feeling of separation, right? But what happened to her? She, after she has gone there, she has accepted that that's her house, husband's house. That's her house. She has accepted that, right? Then after that, when the parents tell her, why don't you come sometimes? She's not in a mood to come. Suddenly the mood has changed. Up to the point when she was at home, attached to the mother or father, so attached she was, that after the marriage, she has gone to the husband and started living with the husband. And suddenly she accepted, this is my new home. In the same way, when we leave this identification with the body and we get back our spiritual identity, that is what will happen, right? So, when this girl, who was so attached to her parents, after she has gone away with her husband and started living elsewhere, then once in a way she comes to visit the parents, and the parents are telling her, why don't you stay a couple of days more? She says, no, I have no time. I have a lot of things to do in the other house. So how did this shift happen? At one time she was so attached with this house. Suddenly that attachment here has gone and got completely attached to the new place where she is. In the similarly, today now we are identifying with this body, mind, senses, everything, and think that this is me. And when the shift happens to the Antaryami, what will happen is this identification with the body, mind, senses, everything will go in one lot, one stretch. You won't feel any need for this anymore. So, what has actually happened to that girl? She accepted that, just accepted that that's my place. So that acceptance, right? And with that, everything has gone, changed inside, right? So that body center has changed. So that is what is called identification. How identification changes from one place to another, one place to another, right? So self-realized soul, he is like that. His identification with the body has gone, right? And then whatever he was identifying with before has no meaning anymore. Just like that girl who has got married and gone away, when her identification has gone with the parents and the home, and she started identifying with another place, with the husband and his house and their house, so how that shift happened inside, suddenly, within a few days, the whole thing changed, isn't it? In the same way, Krishna is saying this, right? You will see this mentioned like that in the Jadi Nidhi Kula Gotra Duragam. നാമരൂപ ഗുണദോഷവർജിതം ദേശകാല വിഷയാനി വർത്തിയത് ബ്രഹ്മതത്വമസി ഭാവയാത്മനി. ഉപിവേക ചൂടാമണി എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻസ് എ പൊസിഷൻ ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ. റൈറ്റ്. ഇൻ അവർ സ്വരൂപം, ഇൻ അവർ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഐഡന്റിറ്റി, ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ഡോണ്ട് എക്സിസ്റ്റ്. വിച്ച് വൺ? ജാതി, നീതി, കുലം, ഗോത്രം, കാസ്റ്റ്, ക്രീഡ്, ഫാമിലി ആൻഡ് ലീനിയേജ്. ബിക്കോസ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് നോ ഐഡന്റിഫിക്കേഷൻ വിത്ത് എനിത്തിങ്, നോ ഐഡന്റിറ്റി അറ്റ് ഓൾ. നാഷണാലിറ്റി, റിലിജിയൻ, മെയിൽ, ഫീമെയിൽ, ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ഡോണ്ട് എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ ദി അവർ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഐഡന്റിറ്റി. Right? And that is our nature. So, so this freedom from the modes of nature and falling back into our actual swarupam, one who is in that level, how is he going to be, is at the next verse. Look at the next verse. ഗുണാനേതാനതീത്യത്രീൻ ദേഹി ദേഹസമുത്ഭവാൻ ജന്മം മൃത്യു ജരാ ദുഃഖ വിമുക്തോ അമൃതമശ്നുതേ. വിമുക്തം അമൃതമശ്നുതേ. ദിസ് 19th വേഴ്സ് വി ഹവ് സീൻ. നാന്യം ഗുണേഭ്യ കർത്താരം യഥാ ദ്രഷ്ടാനു പശ്യതി ഗുണേഭ്യശ്ച പരം വേത്തി മൽഭാവം സോതി ഗച്ഛതി. It is a summary of this whole chapter practically, right? Vedantam, the from Vedantam point of view, right? Someone who had cultivated spiritual knowledge through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all that, and who has acquired the knowledge of the self, who has realized the knowledge, right? You can call him as Jivan Mukta, Jnani, Gunadhidan, Bhagavadottaman, Siddhaprajnan. These are all titles for the same person who has realized the truth. He has realized that he has nothing to do with the body, mind, senses, intelligence, ego. He has become free from all that. Totally got his identity back, spiritual identity back. He is addressed in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in different names. Jivan Mukta, Jnani, Gunadhidan, Bhagavadottaman, Bhagavadottama, and similarly Siddhaprajna, Brahmanishta, all they say, same person, but called in different names, right? When it says in the Bhagavatam, they will say the same qualities, what Krishna is talking about here, as qualities of a pure devotee. He'll put it like that in the Bhagavatam. Right? In other words, one who does not get affected by anything, he's not affected by anything inside. Right? So, Gunadhida, Krishna is saying like that. And Arjuna is asking, how will you explain, describe a Gunadhidan, one who has transcended the modes of nature? So, that's what he said there. Yada drashtanu pashyati, in that 19th verse. He said, Yada Drashtanu Pashyati. Because of his realization, he has become a Drashtava. Drashtava means Sakshi. He's become a Sakshi to everything. And so therefore, what happened is, he has become Drashtava means that he has become so pure inside and he has gone beyond the mind. Three modes of nature is present in the mind. He has gone beyond the mind, right? And he realized that he is Brahman and that is his Swarupam, right? So, a person, one who is doing sadhana in spiritual life, one who has become very matured, pakva, pakvi, one who has become developed pakvada, maturity in sadhana, means Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, he has done all that. And if he is very matured, if he hears this one time, that is sufficient. That is sufficient. Everything will happen instantaneously. It will happen to him. That depends on that person's level of sadhana. Right? He will be established in the self straight away. And he is not anymore affected by the mind. Right? This mind is something very important to know. It is an energy which is subjected to change all the time. Parinamam happens. And that is why you can see sometimes, if you observe your own mind, in one day you will find bhakti in the heart. You will feel devotional, you feel like reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and chanting holy name. All that, you will feel attraction for that, right? Another day you will find, oh, I had done all this enough now. You get a little bit withdrawn from everything. You don't want, you start thinking it's too much spiritual life. It's taking too much of my time. So, and that's called vikalpam. Vikalpam comes at that time. Different thoughts comes and puts you in a very awkward situation. And some other time, you will feel in a shanti state. Yeah? So, so sometimes shanti, sometimes vikshepam, and when vikshepam comes, also you will see, when vikshepam comes also, if you observe your own behavior, when vikshepam comes, if there is something good comes, then you will feel very affectionate and loving nature to everybody else. If not, you will hate everybody. So, all this happens from the mind, isn't it? Mind is the one behind it, right? So that is why they say you should never trust your mind. Mind makes, puts you like that. One day you like somebody, next day you hate him. Why is it like that? Today I like him, tomorrow I hate him. So this loving hate business goes on like that, right? So therefore, because it is like that, Krishna is saying that only a jnani can be called as a devotee. Jnani twalpmeiva me matam. Krishna said that before. You remember? Yeah. Earlier. Yeah. So why did he say like that? Jnani twalpmeiva me matam. Only a jnani is a proper devotee. Yeah. A devotee who is not a jnani, you know, this is an interesting topic. There is bhakti. Bhakti is there. Bhakti has got so many different windows for that, right? What Krishna has spoken to Uddhava is jnana mishra bhakti. Bhakti mixed with knowledge. Ekadasha skandam is jnana mishra bhakti, it is. Then there is kriyakalapa bhakti. Kriyakalapa means these devotees will do a lot of things, make a big noise in the world. That's called kriyakalapam. Their enthusiasm is so much in bhakti, yes, that they will go and do all sorts of things in the name of bhakti. That's called kriya kalapa bhakti. Also is there, right? And the problem with that is, sometimes you will feel bhakti and sometimes you won't feel bhakti. That's the problem with this kriya kalapa bhakti. And similarly, there are people, sometimes they will think, that I like this temple, I like this deity in this temple. After some time they'll say, no, I like the other one. They'll shift their loyalty from this deity to another deity. Similarly, there are people who will worship Krishna for some time and then they'll say, no, I'll start worshipping Shiva now. Or I'll start worshipping Ganesh now. Or I'll do Devi worship, like that. So, and similarly, I like this Swami more than the other Swami in this temple. In this way, keep shifting from one to another. Similarly, they will shift their guru also. They'll go and take initiation from one guru, and then they will say, ah, he is no good. I found somebody else. I go and take from there. So this nature is due to the mind. Due to the mind, because he is not fixed in anything. So because the mind is like that, for him, the pramanam, the authority is the mind. What the mind dictates, he goes and does that, right? And because the nature of the mind is like this, shifting from one thing to another, Therefore, his jnanam or his bhakti or his yogam or his spiritual understanding will never be stable. Such a person. His jnanam is not stable. His bhakti is not stable. And his yoga state is also not stable. And similarly, his spiritual life is also not stable. Also won't be stable. Everything is wobbly. Very low. Therefore, Gaudapada Acharya mentions this in about this point. He makes it like this, that one who has realized the tattvam very well inside, one's course deep realization inside about the tattvam, and he has known the tattvam inside, he has known the tattvam outside, tattvam adhyalpiyam vidya, tattvam drishtasu bahyagam, tattvi bhudaha, he has become the tattvam himself, tadaramaha, and he will be able to live aprachyuto bhavet, without falling from that state, able to live steadily in the spiritual life. He will be able to remain very steady in the spiritual life, right? In other words, what he is saying is, due to prarabdham in life, yeah, prarabdham can put us through all sorts of situations in life. It will happen to anybody. Prarabdham can put us into all kinds of situations, is it not? And what is going to happen, nobody knows what our prarabdham is, right? So whatever prarabdham does, his knowledge of the self and his realizations and the shanti inside, he has not lost it. He is able to hold on to that all the time, in spite of what prarabdham puts him through in his life, right? That is what chuti means. Chuti means falling away from that state of realization. Yeah. On the other hand, in the platform of the mind, manomandalam, everybody fall down in the platform of the mind, right? You get some experience, sometimes you feel happy. When the experience is over, the whole thing, mind changes, right? Coming and going, that is the nature of the mind, right? Today I have bhakti, tomorrow no bhakti. Coming and going, right? Today I am doing the chanting, the holy name, sandhyavandanam, everything. Tomorrow, no. I have no time, I am busy with something else, right? Why is that? I don't have the mood to do it. So, only while eating you don't say I have the mood or not. You don't take into account the mood, you are eating it, right? On time you are taking the food, but mind has got this mood, thing called the mood, right? And in this way, if you have to be free from that, tattva nishtha is required. Tattva jnanam is required, and to be situated in the tattvam. And Krishna mentioned that in the 18th chapter, when we discussed that, if you look at the 9th verse, Karya mityeva yat karmam niyatam kriyade arjuna sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyagam satyo mata. He's referring to that. Yeah, he's saying that karya mityeva yat karmam niyatam kriyade arjuna sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyagam satyo mata. Without expecting any results and without any attachment, the work has to be done with that understanding. When one does karmam, that is sattvikam. Yeah? Karyam ityeva yal karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyagam sattvikamada. He said that in the 18th chapter, and that is what he is saying here. Krishna is saying this here, that if in order to be a karma yogi, if proper karma yogi, you have to be situated in the platform of knowledge. Jnananishtha is necessary, right? Jnananishtha is necessary. So, how jnani does the karma? That's what Krishna is pointing out here. Not that I like this karma, I am doing that. Not like that. Liking, disliking is not a factor while doing the karma. It's not binding him. Just like some karma, I like it, so I do that. Some karma, I don't like it, so I won't do that. But Jnani does not do karma like that. He will keep doing all the karma. Whatever has to be done, he will do it. Right? You can trust a person who is like that. You can trust him. Right? They won't give you any trouble. Right? Because he is led by dharma. According to dharma, he will do it. So, karmanushtanam and dharmanushtanam, they are two things. Karmanushtanam and dharmanushtanam. Karmanushtanam means doing the karma. Following dharma means dharmanushtanam, right? So, so in karmanushtanam also, this dharmanushtanam is important, right? So, that is what is called jnananishta. So, he is saying here, nanyam gunebhya kartaram. That verse is a very important verse. Yada drashtanu pashyadi, gunebhyascha param veti, malbhavam sodhi gachadi. Right? How to do karmam in this world as a witness. How to execute the karmam as a witness. And three modes of nature is not affecting him while doing the karma. That's very difficult thing. When you do a karma, karma vasana will come from that. Isn't it? Whatever type of karma you do, whether it is satyam, rajasam, tamasam. So any karma when you do, from that karma vasana will come. How to do the karma without creating karma vasana, and at the same time, Krishna is saying here, that able to do that karma as a witness, and none of the three modes of nature is affecting him. That state, that's what he is talking about here. Gunebhyascha param veti, that state. Gunebhyascha param veti. How to work in this world without affected by the three modes. Gunebhyascha param veti. In order to do that, you have to realize the self. Otherwise, it cannot be done. Yeah? Able to do as a witness to everything of the three modes, and because he has realized his sarupam, means madbhavam sodhi gachari, as Krishna is saying there. These are all big, big things in spiritual life, isn't it? Gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gachari. Krishna is saying that he has already realized me as Antaryami. His real self, right? So, that Swarupam is not Jivatma. That's not Jivatma, right? He is realized that he is not Jiva anymore. He is that Antaryami inside, pure Brahmam. Sachidananda Brahmam he is, right? He has come to realize that. And what is that saying? Yes, Sarvajna Sarvavid. Mentioned here that Mundaka Upanishad. This verse coming from there, from Mundaka Upanishad, right? Sarvajna, yes, Sarvavid, Esha, Mahima Bhuvi, Divya, Brahmapure, Achesha, Yomastanam, Sampradishtaha, Manomayam, Prana Sharira Neta, Pradishtayam Netre, Hridayam Sannidhaya, Tadvijnanena, Paribashyanti Dhiraha, Ananda Rupam, Amurdam Yadvibhadi. That Upanishad words, Krishna has brought into Bhagavad Gita in this way. Mundaka Upanishad words that is, right? So you can see here that when he is in that state, that's a very famous mantra in the Upanishad mantra, right? The Upanishad is saying, actually what is Ishvara? Ishvara is knowledge. Like in the Bhagavatam also. Vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam. So, Shuka Brahmarshi, Sudha Goswami, in the beginning of Bhagavatam, defined the truth as knowledge. Is it not? That's how he begins that. And so, in us, all of us, he is present inside as our consciousness, prajna, right? And that is what he is referring to. And he, that prajna or andaryami or consciousness, whichever way you call that, bodham, these are all different names for that. He knows everything because Bodham is one. One Bodham who knows everything, what's going on in the throughout the creation, right? And it is because of that Bodham only that we are becoming conscious of the world, because the Bodham is inside. Yeah. So is he simply Chit Bodham only? No, Sarvavid, it says. Sarvavid means he also is conscious. He is also conscious of every movement what we make in this world, whatever we do, he is conscious of that, right? All our karma, all our thoughts, sankalpam inside, and all our understanding, our different conditioning, all that thing is known to him, that Bodham inside, right? So what does jnana mean? Jnana means, just like fire, how heat is for the fire, in the same way, it's that Bodham, that Bodham, it's a Swarupam, is jnana. Like heat and fire you cannot separate them. Fire means heat. In the same way, Bodham means knowledge is there. Jnanam and Bodham, they go together. The Jnanam is aspect of the Bodham. Like the heat is an aspect of the fire, in the same way. So, and as Upanishad says, that Brahma Pure Pratishtam, he is situated in the platform of Brahman, and he is present inside in the Akasham, that is Hriday Akasham, where the Andaryami is present, right? But then why are we not able to realize him? Manomayam. Mind comes and mind creates a problem, right? This power called mind, which is a power that comes from the Andaryami, has come and covers everything, and it is all mixed up now. So if you have to see him, you have to see through the gap inside the mind, able to know, the recognize his presence inside, right? So pranan, what is present in our body, present in our body, right? And he is the one who is running this show. Manomaya prana sharira netam. Manomaya prana sharira netam, it says. Upanishad mantram says, Manomaya prana sharira netam. In other words, where is he coming from? His upalabdha sthanam. In other words, this body made of flesh and blood and all that, mamsam, yeah? Inside this, without being touched by this flesh, Andaryami remains. Andaryami is not affected by the external coverage of the gross body or the subtle body, able to remain aloof from both the gross body as well as the subtle body. That is his position, right? Sarvajnaha sarvavid alam, and that is his upalabdhi sthanam, and that is what Krishna is saying as madbhavam. See that verse? Gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodigachari. What is this malbhavam? Malbhavam means andaryami's bhavam. Unaffected, untouched by the gross and subtle bodies, totally free from them and remain aloof from them, and who knows everything what is going on in the gross and subtle bodies. He knows everything what is going, because he is Bodham, and he knows everything what is going on in the subtle bodies, and that location is Madbhava, what he is referring to as Gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodhi gachari. These are verses, needs a lot of practicing, thinking about it to get to feel for it, of this verse. Yeah? Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pashyadi gunebhyascha param veti malbhavam sodigachadi. Malbhavam sodigachadi. Right? So, so he is inside us, right? And while in the Hridayasthanam, where Andaryami is present, right? And that is where we realize the truth, the self. Self-realization happens there, Andaryami, right? So, which we call it as Brahmanubhavam, Bhagavad Sakshatkaram, Ishvara Sakshatkaram, whatever words he used, that's what he is saying here. Malbhavam Bodhi Gachari. So, from this verse, we get to understand that there is a possibility of realizing the self from this verse. That's what the benefit of this verse is. Otherwise, this is a big news, isn't it? No science will be able to tell you this, would it? Our modern science, you can do experiments and research for hundreds of years. You won't come out with a statement like this, what Krishna is saying here. That is the power of the rishis. Krishna is saying that Malbhavam Sodhi Gachari, you will come to this state of mind. Which research can tell you this? Not possible, right? So, this is the, after saying this, Krishna is coming to a conclusion of this, right? What is the conclusion? The purpose of all this Vedanta philosophy or understanding through Vedanta, Bhagavad Gita, right? Or it's only one intention behind that is for a first-class jinyasi, or one who wants to realize the truth, right? He has only one goal. Why are we doing all these things? Only for one purpose. What is that? Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkhair vimukto amritam asnude. That's what we want. The result, is it not? We want to become free from these things. Which one? Janma mrityu jara dukham vimuktam amritam asnude. If you become free from these things, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukham vimuktam, you get your state of amritam, which is immortality. No more birth and death. That's the goal. So Krishna is saying that the this thing of getting that freedom from the cycle of birth and death, janmam, mrityu, jara, and dukkham, what he's saying here, the same thing what Krishna said before. Yeah. So, this is one thing. This janma mrityu jara dukkhair vimuktam is one thing. Cannot be done, even if you are very clever. This is only one thing which you cannot get it by being clever. You may be very smart and clever, but this one thing you won't be able to get it because of that, right? And that is why Buddha said this. If you look into Buddha's history, you will say this, right? He gave up all his palace, kingdom, everything. And he had queens and plenty of wealth and the kingdom, everything. And he walked away from there. And then he said that, what is the use of all these things, he said. That is spirituality, spiritual understanding, right? Because you've got a lot of people following you, what's the use of that? You got a lot of wealth. What is the use of that? When disease comes, you can't do anything. You have to accept that. And once you are dead and gone, everything is over. Right? So, this is, Buddha said, this is all waste of time. Right? So, therefore, and why do you waste all your life for doing such things? To get followers, to get money, and to become name and fame, and things like that. Buddha is concerned, it's all a waste of time, right? So, therefore, he said, Yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved, yadi ishta viyogam na bhaved, yadi sarvam anitya midam na bhaved, in madi janmani kasir adir na bhaved. That was a famous statement from Buddha, right? Yadi janma jara maranam na bhaved, when I become free from this, birth, death and old age and things like that, right? And similarly, when I become free, yadi ishta viyogam na bhaved, people with whom I am very attachment, when they leave, I suffer. That if I become free from that, yadi sarvam anityam idam na bhaved, when I realize that everything is temporary here and not getting attached to any of those things, madi janmani kasya radhir na bhaved, and as long as I have attachment to all these things, right, I will be keep looking outside in the world. And therefore, I could not find a solution to these problems, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. I could not find any solution for that. And no science in this world can give you a solution to this problem. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, right? Except Bhagavad Gita. Except Bhagavad Gita. This is why Bhagavad Gita is different from all other shastram. All other shastram, right? So, so that is why Krishna is saying in the next verse, if you look, Gunaneda Aditya Trin Dehi Deha Samulbhavad Janma Mrityu Jara Dukher Vimukto Amrita Mashnute. Vimuktam, it is for this purpose that this whole science was spoken. To become free from the grip of birth, how to become free from the cycle of birth and death. That is all what we want, isn't it? Changing the body, getting another body, coming back again. This is a big, this is the actual crisis in life. There is no other crisis in this world. This is, if you solve this crisis, if you come out of this crisis, your problems is solved once for all. That's why it is so important. In Bhagavad Gita alone talks about this. No other scripture in the world is so forthright of saying this to us openly, that your problem is this transmigration from one body to another, one planet to another, one species to another. And in that process, punarabhi jananam, punarabhi maranam, punarabhi janani jadare shayanam, three things. Jananam, maranam, jadare shayanam, all the three things. If you have not come out of those three, then your spiritual life is not successful. Spiritual life is successful if you have become free from these things. So that is how you, which means liberation. That is what's called liberation, isn't it? That you have become free from the cycle of birth and death. That is a criterion, right? So when this happens also, when this distress comes in life, right, even at that time, one will develop sufficient vairagyam inside, right? Because ultimately, knowing this is important. Why? Because when you are conscious of all the time, that you may be working very hard to become successful in life and all that, but this reality, you can't do anything about it. This is a fact of life. So, whatever you may succeed in this world, ultimately, your life is controlled by these things. Old age, disease and death. Right? So, that is what was Buddha was saying. Buddha said this. When they were trying to bring him back into family life, he was a prince, wasn't he? So, he refused. He said, tell me a solution for this problem. Janma Mrityu Jara Dukher Vimuktam Amrita Mashnude. Yeah? So, and this, if you look into all the great personalities, Mahalpas, this is what you find in them. They were not fighting the battle what we are fighting. Their battle is a different battle altogether. They are fighting this battle. Janma Mrityu Jara Dukher Vimuktam Amrita Mashnude. How to become free from birth, death, old age and disease. That's all they are worried about. They are not bothered about Hormuz Strait and all other things what we are fighting about. They are not big issues as far as Mahatmas are concerned, right? Yeah. So, this, you can see this in all the great souls, whether it is Vivekananda, Shankaracharya, Ramana Maharshi, many persons, Ramadatta, all of them, right? And they have all woken up to this reality first in their life. So therefore, other issues were not problems for them. They ignored everything else. They were fighting this battle in their life, right? So, yeah. And they recognize the problem. So identifying the problem is more important than looking for the solution. Yes? So, the problem with us is, we have developed immunity. we don't even know what the problem in life is. As long as I'm happy today, I have food to eat and a place to sleep, and a little bit of fun in this world, I'm satisfied. What does that show? That shows that we have not woken up. Like the way Shankaracharya has spoken, or Ramana Maharshi has spoken, or Vivekananda has spoken, right? So, and we, what has happened to us is, after living in this world for a while, after seeing everybody is like this, so I will also be like that, that attitude, right? And even the doctors in the hospital, they don't realize, every day they are seeing people dying and leaving this world, one after the other. Even then, they don't even come to realize that. Imagine that. Constantly seeing people dying, suffering, old age, suffering, death. They're constantly witnessing that on a daily basis. In spite of that, the vairagyam is not coming. Again, they are thinking, oh, he is dead and gone, I'll be alright. Even the doctor is thinking like that. One day the doctor will also be going in the bag in the same way. Like the way others are, right? So, that is why how gullible we are. Yeah? And you know how this word gullible came? Gullible comes from the word seagull. Yeah? Why are they called gullible? What is the nature of the seagull birds? If 10 of them are sitting there, you know, they all fly together. And they'll go and sit in one branch of a tree, one next to each other. You bring a gun and shoot 9 of them, and the 10th one will still sit there like this. He won't fly away. The 9 has gone, so what? I am okay. That's how we are. And that's why this word gullible, it has come from that word seagull. The nature of the bird, seagulls, bird, nature, right? So, we are also like that. If somebody die, we say, how did he die? Oh, he got cancer, is it? Ah, oh, then I can understand. It's dead and gone. We don't realize that we are on the next in the queue, right? So, from the day creation happened, from that day onwards till today, this old age, disease, death is constantly happening here, right? But still, our illusion is such inside, I'll be alright. I'll be alright, right? So, that illusion, right? And and at the same time, that desire to live is also there. And even if I am 90 years old, still I am thinking, if I don't get sick, I'll be alright. Only when sickness comes, I feel that I'm going to die. Or something is going to happen, right? So I am fighting against the sickness, diseases coming. And if there is no diseases in my knowledge, in my body, I feel that I'll be living forever. That thought comes in, right? So, so that is the reason why many people go into this yoga process. Yeah, some or the other through yoga, if I can get this body fit and strong, right? And through yoga sadhana, right? People get attracted to yoga sadhana. Why? Because they feel that somehow or the other, if I keep my body very healthy through yoga process, diet, sleep, and similarly all the asanas and pranayama and everything they do, somehow or the other to keep themselves fit. And they feel that they will live for a long period of time. Right? So, or to create a body which is free from these three things. Birth, death, old age and diseases, right? So someone raised this issue that first of all, I will create a body like that and then I'll try for self-realization, he said. So Maharshi told him, his answer was like this. He said that if you manage to develop a body which does not get sick, if you manage to do that, then who will be interested in self-realization then? That's a good question, is it not? Suppose if my body will never get sick, I manage to do it through some means, medicines or yoga process or whatever it is, or going to gym or jogging or whatever. People do all sorts of things, hoping that this body will remain free from diseases, right? So suppose you manage to do that, then your desire for self-realization won't be there. Self-realization can only, desire will come only when you recognize that this body is not the ideal situation. It's not our ideal existence as is in this body, right? So, and once this body is comfortable, then what will be, your thoughts will go in a different direction. How can I enjoy life in this world, right? So, and because we are fearful of diseases, that is why we are a little bit careful about this, enjoying business. That's all it is. Just because we know, if I enjoy too much, I will suffer tomorrow. And because we are conscious of that, therefore we are a little bit controlled about our sense gratification, right? Bhoge roga bhayam. Bhavabodhi says that. Bhoge roga bhayam. Yeah. Fear of rogam, because of that, bhogam, you are restricting. Otherwise you will go all the way out to enjoy senses, right? So, when you think like this, that I will have a healthy body and with that I will have self-realization, Maharshi said that body itself is a disease. That's the first thing we have to know, right? And body, ask, that is why Krishna discussed body first in the 13th chapter, Kshetram, right? When he said that, body is like a field. It's like a field, isn't it? Kshetram. And just like in the field, so many things will come out. Weeds will come, grains will come, flowered plants will come. So many things will come in an open field if you leave it like that. So many things comes out from that field, is it not? Similarly, this body also is a field for various types of diseases to come out, right? And so many problems we are getting from this body. The problems what I am getting, you are not getting it. And the problems what you are getting, I am not getting it. Different people get different types of problems with the different types of bodies. How do you explain this? It is very difficult to understand this body. That's the first thing. It is like a field where different types of plants comes out. Is it not? You know, when you go into an open field sometimes and look at it, you will see all kinds of things have come out from the field. That's what Krishna is saying that about this body, right? And within this environment of a body like this, to find happiness is very difficult. But every day we get a bit of that happiness, right? Because Shastram says like that, happiness is inside us, right? It is inside us, right? And it also says the very nature of the Atma, Antaryami, is sukham, bliss, right? So we have to know this, that the in our spiritual identity, spiritual nature, there is no distress. It's pure. It's not affected by any of these things. So, accordingly, we have to know that from this verse. Guna nedan adityatrin dehi deha samulbhavat janmam mrityu jara dukhair vimuktam amritam asnute. Right? So, accordingly, one has to organize one's own life in that way. Atmajnanam, knowledge of the self, what Krishna is talking about here. And simply by doing a lot of rituals and anushtanam, karmam, is not sufficient. Is not sufficient, right? Atmavicharam means that the knowledge of the self, how Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, has to be there. And if you ask the question, is this all possible, means that it is possible provided what is required is vairagyam. If vairagyam and vivegam, vairagyam means detachment from happy material enjoyment and some amount sort of discrimination power, if it happens, all other things will follow. So in spiritual life, these two are very important. Vairagyam, Vivekam. Vairagyam means detachment from this world. That freedom from or desire to enjoy life. Freedom from that. And Vivekam means able to see what the goal is of life in this world. And not being pulled by the world too much. By the various things in this world, what can influence us. Right? So, how will these two things come? Vivekam, Vairagyam. That is why Krishna says here, if you look into your own life and look into others' life and seeing the world, from that, when you start thinking about this world seriously, what this world has to offer, and when you get the mercy of the Antaryami inside, you will get that Vairagyam. You will develop that Vivekam also. Vivekam, Vairagyam, two things. Yeah. So, Krishna mentioned earlier, remember, Prasade sarvadukhanam hani rasyobha jayade, in the second chapter, right? So, Antaryami, when you he is pleased with you, that means you have come to the spiritual path and you started looking at life in a different way. Not thinking anymore about sense gratification or getting attached to various things. Vairagyam has to come first. Vairagyam is a immediate requirement. Yeah, without that is why most of us don't make much progress on the spiritual path, because there is no Vairagyam inside. We are trying to use the spiritual life, as we mentioned before, that spiritual life for most of the people is something that they want to, if it can help in their material happiness. If you keep spiritual life in that level, then Vairagyam won't come. Vairagyam means that fully disgusted with this world, after seeing what's going on in this world, and seeing your own body, your own life, and observing others' life as well. From that, Vairagyam has to come. Vairagyam is a very strong mandatory requirement for spiritual, because if there is no Vairagyam, Jnanam won't stay. That's the problem with Vairagyam, with the Jnanam. Jnanam is dependent on Vairagyam. Jnana Vairagyam together they are. Without Vairagyam, no Jnanam will be simply theoretical. It won't have any impact on the person. Yeah. So this inquiring nature, to become free from this Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, is a problem. That is my main problem. And I want to become free from that, and by realizing the self, that jijnyasa, just like when you feel thirsty, you want water, right? Or when you are hungry, you want the food. Similarly, in the same way, genuinely, a desire from inside to escape from this cycle of birth and death, which is called as mumukshatvam, tatva jijnyasa, will come automatically in a person. Because mumukshatvam is not there, that's why our spiritual life is not making much headway. So, and this mumukshatvam or tattva jijnyasa, what comes in a person, his external manifestation is guru. Tattva jijnyasa, if comes in a person, mumukshatvam, his external manifestation of that mumukshatvam is guru, right? So if jijnyasa or mumukshatvam is what we want, then the supply is guru. Supplier is guru, right? So what does guru does? What is guru's role? He is not doing anything new. What he is showing to us is our swarupam, which is beyond the three modes of nature. That's what he does to us, to take us to that state of consciousness beyond the three modes of nature, right? And showing to us, you are only a witness, but all these disturbances are in your mind and you are not the mind. And similarly, birth and death is also not your swarupam, and you are only unnecessarily getting frightened about it. Just like we don't remember when we were born. Now, today, we don't even remember when we were born. Similarly, death also we have not seen the death, if not, and we don't know what death is. If somebody asks me what death is, I don't know what death is, right? I have not seen the death, right? And all I know now is that I exist. That much I'm conscious of, right? Somebody died. I went and had a look when the person died, right? And when I saw that all the body is lying there, then I came back. And for a short period of time, it affected me. I thought about that. But after some time, I forget about it. I don't take it anymore seriously. Somebody died long ago, gone. It all in the memory only, right? Why is that fear of death is not staying inside us? Because within us, Antaryami is deathless. Antaryami has no death. And because of his deathless nature, this, even if you from outside, if you push this fear of death inwards, internally to us, right? This Antaryami inside, he will push it out. Even if you see people dying, and that thoughts of death, why is it not affecting us? That's because of the Antaryami inside. Antaryami won't entertain that. If you push inwards, somebody died, you've seen that. And you know that that's what's going to happen to you tomorrow. In spite of that, you're not frightened about it. You're not feeling fearful about it, right? And that is why you come home, you went for a funeral, came home, for a few days or so you will think about it, or a few hours sometimes, you're back to normal again. How is that possible? Knowing very well that you are going to be done, you remember Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. Shuava Karam Ajam, he said. Why are they like this? He said. Uddhava asked Krishna. Shuava Karam Ajam, like dogs, donkeys, and goats. How are they like? They will, when the goats, you take them all for slaughterhouse to slaughter, they'll all go in a group. And they know very well that they are going to be slaughtered. Because one after the other, that's going into the machine and getting killed. But these goats still looking for some grass, if there is something to eat. This is how the nature. This shows our nature. Isn't it? Even though they are all, we are also in the same slaughterhouse going through, still I'm thinking, can I be happy here? Looking for some grass here to enjoy. Yeah? So that's what our nature is, right? So Antaryami will not allow to allow this fear of death to affect us. After some time, Antaryami will push it out so that you go back into your own business doing it again, right? So, but when such a thing happens and able to take it seriously, and in order to realize that I have this permanent reality inside, Antaryami inside, one has to see that very clearly, and for that one requires this inquiry, self-inquiry process, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. And when one realizes I am that self inside, able to remain in that platform, that is what's called a tapasya. And so this karma kalapam, what we do, karma kalapam, that is not considered to be tapasya. That's not tapasya, right? Able to realize the self and inquiring self, that is tapasya. Karma kalapam is not considered tapasya, right? Bhagavo jnana tapasa pudam adbhavam agada, Krishna mentions that, right? So jnana tapasa is tapasa, not any other tapasa, right? And that alone will purify us, we will become free from that. Shanti will come, and that tapasa is what Krishna is going to talk about from now on. What is that tapasa, right? And that is the next verse. ഗുണാനേദാനദീത്യത്രീൻ ദേഹി ദേഹ സമുദ്ഭവാത് ജന്മ മൃത്യു ജരാദുഃഖേ വിമുക്തം അമൃതമശ്നുതേ. ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് റൈറ്റ്. ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് ഈസ് ദി ഗ്രേറ്റസ്റ്റ് പ്രോമിസ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ഗിവൺ. Big promise Krishna is giving to us, right? In no other place in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken so explicitly this thing, right? What he is saying here is that if you go beyond these three modes, beyond the three modes, that's what he's saying. Gunanedan aditya treen. Treen means three modes. Gunanedan aditya treen. If you are able to go beyond these three modes, right? Then, Dehi Deha Samudbhavan. this three gunam does certain things to us. What do they do to us? The three gunam. First one, it creates bodies. It creates Dehi Deha Samudbhavan. That's what it does to us. Is it not? The three modes of nature creates bodies for us. Different types of bodies. Right? And it will keep on doing this forever, one after the other. Three modes of nature will keep on creating bodies for us, right? Secondly, within this body also, these three modes of nature causes problems within the body also. One thing, it keeps creating new bodies. Secondly, within this body while you are there, it causes problems. The three modes of nature, right? So, he is saying here, if you can transcend guna netan aditya trin dehi deha samulbhavan, yeah? If you have succeeded in transcending these three modes, then what will happen is, you will become free from janma mrityu jara vyadhi, that this state will come, vimuktam amrutam asnute, state of freedom from the cycle of birth and death, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, freedom from the cycle of birth and death. And Krishna is saying this is the greatest promise, this verse. What he is saying here, right? So, Trigunadhidan, Gunadhidan is the one who is qualified for liberation, who has become free from the modes of nature, right? While you are still inside this body, right? Body, you don't have to do anything about it, yes? Body is prarabdham. This we have to accept first, all these things, yeah? That itself is a big thing for most of the people, to accept that body is prarabdham. Yeah. So body, once prarabdham means that you got to accept that with this body I'll have to accept a lot of problems, diseases. And similarly, lots of diseases will come. If you go back and look from your childhood right now up to this point, there was no time when you had no disease. Something or the other were always coming, going in that way, right? And so therefore, body, you know that's how the body is. A lot of diseases are going to come, so not to give importance to such an extent, right? And then, so therefore, once you have accepted that is the nature of the body, that means you have come to terms with it, with the body, in that way. Then secondly, mind. For some people, they get very quickly depressed, isn't it? Very quick, you will see the swing, mood swinging very fast in them. Sometimes they are very happy. Sometimes they're so depressed, that swinging the mood, right? And that is also their prarabdham, comes in the mind like that. So, what can you do about that? It is like that, that's the way it is, right? So, all these things, you have to leave it to itself, the body and the mind, everything, right? Nothing, you have to accept it, everything, you are ignoring it. When it comes, you are ignoring it, right? So, basically, you are rejecting, the body and the mind because you know that it is a hopeless situation. There's nothing you can do about it. This is the approach from the spiritual side. From spiritual level, if you look at it, that's the way to deal with the body and the mind. Not to give too much importance to it. It'll have problems. It's known that because I've got a body means I'll get sick. And anyone, it's a true fact. Yeah. So what they do, what Krishna is saying here is that knowing the reality that the body and the mind is like this, you ignore it. You ignore it. If you want to do something with it, you do it, but it may or may not work because it is decided by prarabdham. Prarabdham will control your body and the mind, always. No doctor, no medicine, no pharmacy, no research, no science, nothing can help. They'll come, you can try that. If it works, it works. If it's meant to cure, it'll cure. But by and large, it'll be controlled by the prarabdham. Yeah. So, knowing this and remain as Atma, understanding that you are Atma, and when you got this message from Bhagavad Gita and from the spiritual master, you are accepting it straight away. And after that, you have accepted that. After you have accepted that, then you should not fight with the body and the mind. You should not keep on thinking that I will look after the body, I'll maintain the body, I'll look after the mind in this way. And then identifying with the body and then working hard for that, that you have to stop. Once you have accepted that, right? So Chandalava Duram Tyaja, Vivek Chudamani says that you are rejecting everything, identification with the body, mind, everything. And there you are accepting that you are Brahman. And in that state, able to situate it like that. When the body is hungry, if you get food, you eat it. And when the body is tired, you want to sleep, you sleep. But how the body got used to, accordingly the body will behave. Different people, if you observe, you can see that. Different types of bodies, even among the human beings, people are different, isn't it? So Krishna is saying that if you can remain aloof from the body and right now while here within this body, if you can become conscious of the soul and be situate, identify with the soul here, then that will gradually take you to that state, although it's going to take time. Yeah. So 19th verse, Nanyam Gunebhya Kartaram, Krishna spoke about how a person who has become free from the modes of nature, how he will be. In the 20th verse, Krishna is saying, Guna Nedan Adityatrin, Dehi Dehasamulbhavad, Janmam Mrityu Jaradukkar, Vimuttam, Amrutam Asnute, right? Means that he knows very well that this Deham has come from Maya. He is aware of that. Always. In other words, he has broken away from the body within himself. He is thinking that, he is always conscious that when body is getting into trouble or mind gets into problems, he is conscious that these things have come from Maya. Body and the mind, everything, right? And such a person, Krishna says, one who culture or cultivate that, he becomes free from birth, death and old age and becomes immortal. So that is how Krishna puts it like that. Yeah? So, guna nedan yathoktan aditya, jivan eva adikrami maya upadhi bhudan, treen dehi deha samulbhava deholpati bija bhudan, janmam mrityu jara dukhai eva vimuktaha, san vidwan amrutam ashnude evam madbhavam adigachadi ityartaha. So that is Krishna's message in that. So both those two verses, 19 and 20, they are important. 19 talks about a person who is gone out of the three modes. 20 talks about what is the purpose of becoming free from the three modes. Purpose is this, to become free from the cycle of birth and death. Janma mrityu jara dukhair vimuktam amrutam asnude, and reaching that state of immortality, right? So let's have a short break. We'll continue after that.
Chedodarpanamarjanam Bhaumahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreyakaitava Chandriya Vidaranam Dhyavadhu Jeevanam Anandambudhi Vardhanam Pradipada Purnamrata Swadhanam Sarvatna Subhanam Varam Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamagari Bahudadija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nemida Smaranena Kalam Yedadrashitava Kripa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Medrashami Hajani Nanuragaham Tranaravi Shunichena Tarorabi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadishakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadal Bhaktira Hari Dugitvai Ayi Nandatanuja Kingaram Patidamam Shame Bhavam Budho Krupayadava Pada Pangajastita Duli Sadrasham Vichindayam Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulagir Nijidam Gadava Bhutava Namagrahane Bhavishari Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahename Ashli Shiva Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyotuva Yatha Tadava Vitada Dulambano Malpranatha Sunayevana Para Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Gunane Dana Dityatrin Dehi Deha Samal Bhavan Janmam Mrityu Jara Dukhair Vimuktam Amrutam Asnute. So basically Krishna is saying this, that Dehi Deha Samud Bhavan. In other words, this method of breaking up between body and the soul, how to break them up and able to remain on the platform of the soul, Krishna says that if you if you can do that through the process of hearing, reflection, contemplation, in other words, and then through able to hold on to that awareness of the Antaryami inside, and gradually by training that way, he says, while doing that, there will be a lot of problems in the world outside. Don't go and try to solve all those worldly problems. Krishna's point is that not to get involved in the world too much and try to solve the problems of the world. So those problems, whatever that is in the world, he says that interfering in them, and but rather more important than that is little by little able to be situated on the platform of the soul, Antaryami, right? Atmanishtha. And able to forget about this world and forget about this body, rather be more focused on the Antaryami inside. And let there be few people like that in this world. It is not possible everybody won't be able to do that. But at least if there are some few people who are concerned about the Antaryami, about the self, and established in the self, that because you can see in this world, people waste their life for so many useless things, is it not? They devote their whole life for some useless efforts. Nothing substantially comes from that. Krishna is saying that if there is something to be done in this world, from Krishna's position, so this is the only one he says it's worthwhile doing here. Which one? This Janmam Mrityu Jara Dukhair Vimuktam Amrutam Asnute. That is Krishna's point. Krishna is saying that if something worthwhile doing here, this is what is worthwhile. Everything else is, he says, people do all sorts of things and waste their life. So so that's why I say few souls line for God and God alone, let the world go and have no compromise on that. Vivekananda said this, right? So, able to be situated on the platform of the soul, on the reality, the truth, right? And he says that there is no particularly action or sadhana required. That thing, sadhana, sadhana and all, you do for a long time. But, therefore in bhakti yogam, bhakti process also, it is said like this, that chanting the holy name, there is no beginning to it, there is no end to it. You keep on chanting, chanting, chanting forever, right? So, the chanting process is that you become established in that, nishta. Nishta comes in that, right? So, there is no beginning, there is no rules, no regulations. You can chant anytime, anywhere, and no restrictions at all, right? So, by doing like that, gradually you become free from this bodily identification. That's the purpose of that. While doing chanting, engage in this jnana vicharam, realizing that I am not this body, I am not this body, becoming freeing from the body as much as possible. And if you do like that, Krishna is saying that, that here itself it is possible, vimuktam amrtam asnude, you can be satisfied, peaceful, shanti, and freedom from the bondage can happen here. But prakriti, when prakriti will do its part, that means if we have some prarabdham in life, prakriti will drag us through that. There won't be any way of escaping from that. So, prakriti will bring so many problems, but knowing very well that it will go one day, it won't stay permanently, and therefore, instead of absorbing in prakriti too much, getting involved in that, if you do like that, you will get trapped in the modes of nature, and that's what Krishna calls it as gunasangam. Gunasangam comes from that, right? So, due to samvadam, by continuously mixing with prakriti, you will get trapped and finding it difficult to get out of it, right? So, this requires a little bit of solitude and tapas. Otherwise, it is not possible to do some sacrifice from our side. More towards solitude. Able to be alone, and being alone helps this, what Krishna is saying here, right? So, otherwise, if you deal with the world, everything drishyam, what we see, is all three modes of nature. And those three modes of nature will create different types of emotions within us, right? And they will create bhramsham from Swarupanishtha. Swarupanishtha means about one's own spiritual identification with the self, right? So gradually Krishna is saying, practicing that, these are all for people who are very serious in spiritual path, right? Able to remain as a witness, able to be established in the self, and becoming constantly getting practiced with that, and in that way, you will, Krishna says, you will become little bit free from this janma mrti jara vyadhi, all these things. You won't know about it. And you will realize that you are not born. And you also will realize that there is no thing called death. And even some diseases comes in this body, you will look at the body and see the diseases come to the body and not me. That way, breaking away from the body all the time, separating yourself from the body. It is not possible for everyone to do it, but Krishna is saying that this is the way to go. Right? Then, they give this example. You may also have seen, you don't see it much here, but in the hot weather conditions you will notice this. These small lizards, they'll be hanging on to the beams everywhere, right? And sometimes they will come to the door and, you know, between the door and the frame, they'll stand there. And when you, without seeing them, you close the door, what will happen? Their tail will get broken. So, part of the tail, they are small ones, this size. And from the tail, part will be broken and it will fall off. And we know what they will do? They will look at their tail, peace, what has come off from the tail. They look at that, these lizards, small lizards. You won't find it here much because where there is a lot of wood and in the hot weather, that's where you find them mostly, right? And when the piece of the tail is broken and falls off, right, that fallen piece will start vibrating for a short period of time. A little piece of the tail, it will start vibrating for a short period of time. And this lizard will keep looking at it, its own tail moving like this. It will keep looking at it, right? And similarly, after looking for some time, it will go from there. It will move. If a piece of tail goes away, it is not affected by that. It will accept that. It will go away like that. Similarly, what Krishna is saying that for a person who is practicing spiritual path, life in this way, he will look at this world in the same way, right? And all the things what's going on in this world, he is not identifying with it. He leaves it to themselves, let it go, do whatever it happens, right? And all kinds of people suffering here in different ways. War is going on, people are getting killed, marriage is going on, people are enjoying it, and all kinds of parties are going on. And all these type of different types of things, whatever that is happening in this world, Krishna is saying that all of them thing has to be left out from allowing to come inside. So, he is seeing them just like a witness to everything. A witness is not affected by what's happening. So, whatever that is going on in this world, you have to leave it in that way. Vasishtha says to Ramachandra that looking at everything like this in this world, tasya shobhate, his life will be good. He will get, because his life will be peaceful. And that technique of looking at things like this in this way, without getting affected by that, and pulling out of it, and gradually coming out of it. And that technique Krishna is going to talk about it in the next few verses. So, here Krishna said, Janmam Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Vimukti. That's what he said in this verse, isn't it? He said, Gunanedan Adityatrin Dehi Dehasamul Bhavan Janmam Mrityu Jara Dukher Vimuktam Amrutam Asnude. So, Vimukti means freedom from these three, four things. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukham. So, at that time, Arjuna is asking this question. Look at Arjuna's question, what he is asking. He is saying that, because Krishna said that while living in this world itself, he has become free from the three modes. Yeah? And become immortal, amrutattvam. Vimuktam amrutam asnude. Amrutattvam comes to him, he said. While living in this world itself, it happens to him. So at that time, Arjuna is asking this question. That birth, death, growth, and all these things, can there be someone without affecting all these things? Can anybody exist like that without getting affected by those things? His situation inside his situation, state, nobody can know that from outside. Because if you look at his body, it is going through the same changes. But the person inside is different. And we will look at him from outside. Is it possible to understand how his inside is? Right? So, that internal experience, internal state, is only known to that person. His state inside. So he only knows that, what is going on inside. To some extent from outside you may notice it, but very difficult to know what is inside is happening, what is inside him, right? Therefore, Arjuna is asking this question. You see the question, Arjuna's question. Kair Arjuna Vacha, Kair Lingair Trin Gunanethan, Atido Bhavati Prabho, Kim Acharya Katham Chaitam, Trin Gunan Ati Vartade. Like Arjuna asked a question about Sthitapratya in the same way. Sthitapratya Sekha Bhasha, Samadhista Sekeshava. He says, how is the Sthitapratya lives in this world? And similarly, Krishna, Arjuna is asking, how a Gunatida lives in this world? There he asked how a Sthitapratya lives in this world. Here, Arjuna is asking, how does a Gunatida lives in this world? Yeah. So, how will I understand he has come out of the three modes? How is possible, right? And how does he behave? What will be the speciality with him? And how has he transcended the three modes? How did he do that? Yeah? So that is this verse. Kair Lingair Srin Gunan Edan Adito Bhavati Prabho Kim Acharya Katham Chaitam Srin Gunan Adi Vartade. What is his symptoms? One who has transcended the three modes, right? And how does he behave in this world? And then how did he do this? That three modes he managed to overcome, you know, to overcome, right? So the question was that these two questions which he has asked, what was that? Symptoms and then his behavior and then how he did that, overcome that, right? So Krishna is answering that now. From now onwards, that is his answer, right? Shri Bhagavan Vacham that Prakasham cha pravrtim cha moham eva cha pandava na dveshti sampravrtani na nivrtani kankshati. Prakasham cha pravrtim cha moham eva cha pandava na dveshti sampravrtani na nivrtani kankshati. So these verses from now on is a guidance to someone who is taking spiritual life very seriously. You know, who are doing sadhana in a very higher level, who is very serious about self-realization, in other words. Because Krishna has told us before, this life is only worth, you can call it a success, only if you have overcome janma mrtyu jara vyadhi. Otherwise, your life is a failure as well as Krishna is concerned. He has made it very clear. Very openly he has stated in the last verse, right? Your life is a success if you have succeeded in coming out of the three modes. And which means that you have become free from birth, death, old age and disease. Which Krishna has spoken before also. But in this particular thing, Krishna says that this birth, death, old age, disease is also coming from the three modes. That you must not forget. They are also coming from the three modes only. Three modes have created birth, death, old age and disease. Indirectly, in other words. Three modes engaged us in karma. Karma created karma vasana. Karma vasana created the body. And we again did karma. In this way got caught bound up and bound within that. And we are still inside that three modes, right? So the three modes is indirectly responsible for this birth, death, old age and disease. So having defined, Krishna said that freedom from three modes means freedom from the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. Yeah. Having said all that, now Krishna is saying that the one who is a gunadhidan, one who has come to beyond the three modes of nature, his identity will be like this, he said. Prakashancha pravrtincha moham evaja pandava. What are these three things? Prakasham comes from sattvagunam. Pravrtti comes from rajogunam. And moham comes from tamogunam. So he has gone beyond the three things. ప్రకాశంచ ప్రవృత్తించ మోహమేవ చ పాండవ నా ద్వేష్టి సంప్రవృత్తాని నా నివృత్తాని కాంక్షది. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ హీ డస్ నాట్ హేట్ దమ్ విచ్ వన్ ప్రకాశం ప్రవృత్తి అండ్ మోహం అండ్ హీ డస్ నాట్ వాంట్ టు గెట్ రిడ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ ఈదర్. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ ఫైటింగ్ అగేన్స్ట్ దమ్, హీఈస్ విత్డ్రాయింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ దమ్, ఈస్ నాట్ ఫైటింగ్ విత్ దమ్, రైట్. సో ప్రకాశం మీన్స్ సాత్వికం, రాజసం మీన్స్ కర్మం, రాజసం, మోహం మీన్స్ సమస్య. And so when they come, this person who is Trigunadhidan, one who has gone beyond the three modes, he would not be, he will just remain as a witness to it, which comes and goes. In other words, he is gradually moved away from the body, moved away from the body, yeah. So, Krishna has spoken these three modes of nature, Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam, and he mentioned these are the three things which is happening within us all the time. These three things are happening within us all the time. Prakasham, Karmam, Moham. Prakasham, sometimes when Prakasham comes, Sattvagunam comes. When Karmam comes, means Rajagunam is inside working. When Moham comes, Tamogunam is working within us. So these three modes are constantly changing within us. Yeah. So, so Krishna is saying that the earlier he mentioned that sarvadvarani prakasham upajayate, the nature of sattugunam is you feel prakasham. Remember what we discussed yesterday, day before. Yeah. The prakasham comes, the body becomes very light. You feel lightness in the body. That is because Antaryami's presence in mind, senses and gross body, everything, Antaryami's presence is becoming more conscious of that. Yeah. So, and prakasham, that is what that lightness, that's what that prakasham upajayade means. You remember that verse before we looked at that. Yeah. Sarvadvareshu dehesmin. Important words that is. The how you experience this in within yourself, right? Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayade. What Krishna has said that before. And that this spiritual knowledge of the Antaryami's presence inside is permeating through senses, through the body, through the mind, everything. And andhakaranam, subtle body as well as the gross body and the buddhi. Everything gets illuminated. Illuminated means buddhi has got clarity, good clarity inside, yeah. And the mind is in the shanti state. Senses are not demanding sense gratification. That kind of when that happens, you can understand that prakasham vajayade, he is in the sattvaguna. When a person is not getting attracted to sense gratification, and when he has good clarity in his intelligence about self-realization and the knowledge of the self, and gross body is not demanding anything, feeling very lighter, if this is all happening in a person, you can take it that he says jnanam yada tada vidyat vivardham sattvamityuda. Sattvagunam has increased in him at that time. Sattvagunam has increased in him. So Krishna spoke everything, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, in connection in three ways: prakasham, karmam, moham. Prakasham, karmam, moham. When a person is very enthusiastic to do a lot of work, make a lot of money, and wants name and fame, wants followers and all that kind of situation happens in someone, you can take it that Rajogunam is pushing him from inside. He is controlled by Rajogunam. Similarly, when someone feels that ajnanam, ignorant completely, no interest in anything, ashraddha, and so many, he is building up a lot of moham, illusions in his head. You know, lot of things in his head. He is making different plans. And a kind of a lost situation, right? So when that happens, that means moham. So, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam. Prakasham, karmam, moham. That is how they are. So looking at prakasham, karmam and moham, you can say whether they are in sattvagunam, rajagunam or tamogunam. Having said all that, he says, though, so when you have a body, when you have a body, right, these things will come one after the other. It'll keep coming and going, right? But if you are in the samadhi state or yoga siddhi, this won't happen, right? But in suppose you have developed the process of self-inquiry and absorbed very much in the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads and all, and you have trained your mind to get involved in that and lost all interest in the world, everything, that means you are in a samadhi state or yoga siddhi. You can get there, but once you leave yoga siddhi, you start vyavaharam, all these things will come back again. Which one? These three gunam. They will come back, right? So uttana dasha, that means that it is not possible to remain, leave complete vyavaharam and to remain in that state all the time. That's not possible, right? So therefore, when mind comes back, that's when vyavaharam begins, is it not? When the mind becomes active, vyavaharam begins, right? And once that happens, satvagunam, rajagunam, tamagunam will come straight away, right? So when that stage is called uttana dasha. Uttana dasha means when mind comes into action. In yoga sthiti, mind is not working. Chittavritti stopped, right? But in uttana dasha, that's what it's called, uttana dasha. In uttana dasha, what will happen is that mind has started vyavaharam. Mind woke up and vyavaharam begins, right? And in him, Krishna is saying here, then these three states, these three modes will keep coming and going. Even though in yoga sthiti it didn't happen, uttana dasha it will happen. You see, sir? Prakashancha pravartincha mohamevacha pandava na dveshti sampravurtani na nivurtani kankshadi. So, it is a guideline for everybody, this verse. Yeah? when tamogunam comes in us, right? When tamogunam comes in us, you can see that I have been chanting the holy name or I was doing meditation or doing deity worship. So many spiritual activities I was doing, but tamogunam has come. Yeah? And then what happens? I say, I can't do anything about it. I feel hopeless. Everything become hopeless, right? So, what does a gunatitan do at that time? One who has come out of gunam, three modes of nature, when he comes, a state comes like that, tamogunam or rajogunam, when a state comes like that, he says that this is nothing to do with my surupam. He distances himself from the gunam. He has learned that art, how to distance yourself from the gunam, right? So, tamogunam is not my surupam. And I am only a witness to the tamogunam that has come in me. But it is not in my surupam. So continuously, he is distancing himself from the three modes all the time, right? Under any circumstances, he does not allow the modes to take over his life. He does not allow the modes to take over his life. You see, the thing is that unless you study Bhagavad Gita in a very deeper level, and practice it, all these things will become very theoretical only. Isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is not only to preach to others and to tell them, oh, you touch my Bhagavad Gita, you are liberated. There is one going on like that. People do all sorts of funny things like that, yeah? So that is no use. Krishna is saying, if you want the benefit of Bhagavad Gita, you have to practice it and get some benefit out of it. So, Krishna knows our difficulty. That's fully knowing our problems. That is how he has said these verses, right? He told us that you are not going to be 100% successful in one lifetime. It's not going to happen. But, if you understand the science behind the whole three modes of nature, at least if you can stay in the mood of goodness, instead of rajogunam and tamogunam, even that is a big success, Krishna says. Why? Because after death, at least it's a guarantee that you won't go into lower species or into another body like this, with full of problems. Isn't it? So that itself is somewhat encouraging, that news. That even after death, even if I don't make it this lifetime, which Krishna also says is very difficult, anega janma sam siddhim, he says many lifetimes it may take. But the guarantee is this, that at least if you understand the three modes of nature and learn this art of distancing oneself from the three modes and able to remain as a witness throughout. So that's what he's saying. So similarly, Rajogunam comes. Even at that time, he says, it is nothing to do with me. Rajogunam is doing things and it's coming and going, right? I am simply a witness. Similarly, when Sattugunam comes also, he is saying that when Sattugunam goes away, comes and goes. When Sattugunam comes, what happens is that you have attraction for spiritual life. You feel shanti inside and able to dhyana, meditation, japam, all these things are possible. And you feel some comfort and happiness in life. That is the nature of Sattugunam. Sukham comes, right? So, when Sattugunam goes away, you won't cry about it. That you are feeling happy in Sattugunam. So when Sattugunam leaves you, you feel unhappy because Sattugunam has gone. But Gunati then, even when Sattugunam comes and goes, is not affected. These are all finer things to happen within. You know, it's not an external thing. This is all has to happen within, inside a person, right? So in other words, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is Prakriti. Whatever comes from Prakriti, I am only a witness. I won't accept it otherwise. Able to remind. Anything that happens from Prakriti, he is able to observe that purely as a part of the Prakriti and accept it like that. And he remains as himself in his Swarupam. In his Swarupam. And Krishna is saying that you have to practice it. This process. One has to practice oneself, right? So, Gaudapadacharya mentions this in his Mandukya Upanishad Kariga. He says that when you are performing meditation and japam and all, it gives you some happiness later. See, what happens is, when you do chanting, sit down and chant properly for some few hours, what happens? Chittavritti comes down. When Chittavritti comes down, you feel some happiness inside, shanti inside. Otherwise, the mind is running at 100 miles an hour and you are running and trying to control it, but you are not able to. Mind is doing so many things, so many thoughts and other things comes in, right? So when Chittavritti goes away, you feel happiness inside. And so even when happiness comes from Sattugunam, even while doing sadhana, even if you get some Sattugunam from that, and due to Sattugunam you feel shanti inside, still, Gautama Acharya says, you should not get attached to it, to that happiness what comes from there, right? So what the problem with Sattugunam is this, that when it goes away, the person is very depressed. When Sattugunam goes away from us, right? Because many people think when Sattugunam comes, that is spiritual experience. That is a mistake. When Sattugunam comes in, we start thinking, oh, I have some spiritual experience. They think like that, right? sometimes they say, I met a guru and he gave me a mantra to chant. And by chanting that mantra, I got some happiness. I felt very peaceful, right? Something, he said, got like that. After some time, that's gone. That happiness, what he got, right? Then he's saying that, oh, it didn't stay, so let me find another guru who can give me another mantra to chant, right? So, what is Krishna's point is that you can go like this all over Kailasam, Vaikuntham, everywhere, and even Patala Lokam, but this vastu, what you are actually looking for, the self, real self, right? You won't get anywhere there, right? And it is not something that a guru can hand over to you like that, because he is inside, yeah? And Ashtavakra Maharshi says like this, that he puts it in a much more blunt manner. Who? Ashtavakra. Ashtavakra says that, even if you get Mahavishnu as your guru, or Lord Shiva as your guru, or Brahma as your guru, you are not able to become free from the problems of the three modes. That's how he puts it. Even Shiva or Vishnu or Brahma comes as your guru, you will still, unless you get this self-realization here, within this Antaryami, here, right? So, Guru's instructions all can only help you. He says that whatever Shastram says, Guru will follow. And what the Upanishads are saying, Guru is also saying the same thing, right? And when Guru says that, it helps you able to stay in that state of Antaryami, right? You will get some strength for that, that's all. But you have to stay in that state on your own. You have to stay on your state, right? Somebody else cannot do it for us. So, mental manomandalam, that means the platform of the mind, able to break it away, that platform of the mind, and able to get established in the self, Antaryami, right? Without that, the problem is not going to get solved. That is Krishna's opinion about that. Krishna says, you see, at the moment we have Antaryami, which is our real self, right? Covered by mind. Mind means thought waves, chittavritti, everything, ahankaram, abhimanam. We will call all of them together as mind. It is a mixture of all these things, ahankaram, abhimanam, mind, intelligence. They are all the subtle body, vasanas, karma. Sometimes in Shastram they will call it as mind, all together as mind, as manavruti. So this manomandalam, this thing altogether, is the covering on the Antaryami. And it is very difficult to stay in the platform of the soul when you have such a strong manomandalam outside. And even if a new guru or a spiritual master or another mahalpa or even an incarnation comes, it is not unless this thing is broken up, this subtle body, right? It is very difficult to do that unless we ourselves put some effort into that. Yeah. So therefore, he is saying here that that nobody else can, even if it's a lot of aggressive nature, he tries to change this upside down. No, it is not possible, because all these things have come from prakriti, from maya. What Krishna is saying is, maya is such a powerful thing which has created all these things. Which one? Mind, intelligence, ahankaram, ego, chittavritti, and all the other things, our vasanas, karmam. All this is avidya inside us, right? So this avidya package, which is covering the Antaryami, has come from prakriti. And it is not possible to crush it straight away like that, unless we understand this, what he is saying here. That's his point, right? So, nobody can forcefully change this, forcefully to change it, right? Nobody has any entry into my prakriti. My prakriti is all these things together, right? You can say like this, that externally you can mention like that, that if you are ready for that, if you are willing to surrender, and similarly, if your Shraddha is very favorable, and then it is possible. That is why he said there that the Shraddha, in this verse he is saying here that when Tamasa Prakriti comes, Tamasam, I am feeling dull. Moham comes, I feel dull, right? Rajasa Prakriti comes, I get attracted to karmam and I go and jump into all the karmam in the world, right? And due to that, a lot of problems comes to me. And similarly, when satyam comes, when satugunam comes, prakasham comes, and a little bit of happiness comes inside, right? So, one who has understood the three modes of nature, what he does is that all the three modes of nature creates bondage, one way or the other, good or bad, whatever it is, it's bondage at the end, isn't it? Tamogunam creates bondage in one way, Rajogunam creates bondage in one way, Sattogunam also creates bondage in another way. Bondage is bondage always. So, knowing this, the person who has come out of the three modes of nature, he does not worry about them so much. They have all come from Prakriti. All the three modes have come from Prakriti. And therefore, because it has come from Prakriti, he does not hate them. Or he does not get angry with them. And knowing very well this awareness inside, that the three modes of nature and all its activities are coming from Prakriti or Maya, and with that awareness, he stays in his spiritual identity. This is knowledge it is, pure knowledge it is, what Krishna is talking about, right? So, as you keep on reading Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is making us very clear to us that soul is the real self, not the body. Body is a product of Maya. If you start fiddling with the body and the mind and thinking that you can have self-realization, because from Krishna's point of view, solution is only self-realization, nothing else. Once for all, if you want a permanent solution to the problems, the solution is self-realization. What he mentioned in the previous verse, isn't it? Vimuktam. He says, Vimuktam amritam ashnude. That is a solution. So if that is a solution for that, Krishna says, these three modes of nature, you have to learn how to handle them. Knowing them, that they have come from Prakriti. All three modes of nature are from Prakriti. It has come. And they will perform their duty according to the Prakriti. Maya has engaged them. Sattugunam will bring Prakasham. Rajogunam will bring Karmam. Tamogunam will bring Moham. All those things, right? So, the Sattugunam one, when it comes and when it disappears, generally people will like to have it back because of the happiness they felt in the Sattugunam. But Gunadhidhan does not want even that. He even is willing to say goodbye to Sattugunam. That's Gunadhidhan. So it's a fine difference there, isn't it? Normally we are happy if we get a little Sattugunam because 90% of our time is Rajogunam, Tamogunam. So, in this Rajogunam, Tamogunam, when you get a little Sattugunam, you feel self-realized. That's what Krishna is saying there. That you feel that, oh, I'm on top of the world now. Spiritually, I'm feeling very good. Krishna is saying that Gunadhidhan, even at that stage, is not affected by that. He knows that they have come from Prakriti, from Maya, right? So, because at that time, he is completely free from the grips of Maya, that he is able to identify with the Antaryami inside, and therefore he is going to say how a Gunatita will deal with the world. That is the next 2-3 verses. He's going to talk about that. Yeah. So, So, to stay beyond the three modes means that to stay beyond Prakasham, Pravritti, Moham, Karmam, Moham, right? Always reminding ourselves that this Prakasham, Pravritti, Moham are all coming from the three modes. And you have to remind yourself that thing. And these things are, Prakasham, Pravritti, Moham and all, is involved with the mind inside, right? And in the mind you will get all kinds of thoughts will come. emotions will come, different kinds of emotions, thoughts, emotions. This is the nature of the mind, right? Let it come and go. That's the way you have to deal with it. That, of course, is a difficult thing, but people ask this question all the time, that how do I stay away from the mind? Because mind is causing so much problem. Different thoughts come, different emotions come, and based on which we act, right? So, sometimes, there was one devotee, Kunjaswami, from Palakkad. He was Maharshi's devotee, right? So he went and asked Maharshi this question, what do I do with them when the thoughts come? So Maharshi said, you know, when they do this Giri Pradakshinam, that means this parikramam of the Arunachalam, sometimes there will be a group of monkeys will come, lots of monkeys, like our Govardhan Hill, same way. Yeah, monkeys are everywhere. They will come, and they'll come in a group, and they will stay on the way. And they will, you won't be able to get closer, because if you get closer, they'll do something funny. They'll take your glass away, or they'll take whatever bags you had, they'll pull it off, and they'll go. Before you know, it's gone. Just like they do everywhere else, right? So what do they do? It says that people will wait. They'll come and sit on the road, and they won't let you pass. So you have to wait till they go. Till they go, right? So in the same way, when chittavritti comes, thought waves comes, you have to think like that, let it come and go. And you have to remain as a witness to everything. And knowing very well that that thought waves, chittavritti is not my swarupam. My swarupam is antaryami. And those chittavritti is happening in prakriti, in maya, right? In prakriti, there is karmam, there is chittavritti, there is sleep, and similarly, moham, illusion, all these things. But none of these things exist in the antaryami, in the soul, in the antaryami, right? So, due to the activities of the body, or due to the activities of the body, or due to the thought waves of the subtle body, activities of the gross body, or due to the thought waves in the subtle body, or the sleep in the causal body. We have three bodies, isn't it? Gross body, subtle body, and the causal body. Gross body does actions, karma. Subtle body is busy with thoughts. And causal body in the sleep. That's the sleep, right? So none of these things, whatever that happens there, has no impact on the self, on the antaryami, right? And antaryami is our eternally, that's our identity. And these things are like a cinema comes in the prakriti. These things are happening, coming and going, these three modes. And not getting affected by these three modes and able to remain like that is the sadhana process. What Krishna is going to talk. That is the sadhana Krishna is telling us to do in the next two verses. Yeah. So, and what Krishna is saying here, that when every thought waves comes like that, let it be anything, any thought waves, don't give attention to the thought wave itself. Rather, for example, when you get angry, you become, that anger becomes our thought wave, is it not? Or when you want to do some actions, immediately every thought goes before, behind that, along with that, right? And similarly, all these thoughts, when they come, instead of getting attached to that vritti, vritti means that particular karmam or chittavritti, instead of that, able to distance yourself from that and feeling separate from that. So, in this way, turning the attention away from the chittavritti, away from the karmam, and becoming more in connection with the antaryami, inside, right? So, lot of thought waves will come. You have to ask the question, who is having these thought waves? And that means you are not giving, your attention is not in the thought waves. your attention is more on the Antaryami. Antaryami doesn't have any of these. These are all happening for the jiva inside. Or Ahangaram is feeling these thought waves, right? And this way distancing himself. When you do like that, the Shraddha goes away. That means, instead of having Shraddha on what is happening in the subtle body, you are turning the attention away into the Antaryami. Instead of focusing on what is happening in the subtle body, because when thoughts come, we get immediately affected by that. So instead of allowing that to influence us, we turn our attention towards Antaryami. It is something to be practiced. Krishna is saying like that. Yeah. So, therefore, what he is saying here is that when you do that, it may appear as though you are very selfish. You are looking after yourself. Yeah. Krishna is saying, one who is in knowledge, he should be selfish. He should be selfish, right? Because this selfishness is for self-realization. Therefore, it is not considered to be selfish. Sometimes people say that, oh, he has gone into spiritual life and he is only worried about himself. He is not worried about anybody else. He only looks after himself. Krishna says that's the right thing to do. Looking after yourself, your spiritual life, and looking out and endeavoring for self-realization, Krishna doesn't say it is selfishness. So, on the other hand, that swarthada, selfishness, is atma darshanam, self-realization it is, right? On the other hand, one who goes and get hold of all the other things in this world and identify with that, he is the one who is really selfish. Yeah. So, but once you are established in the self, then that person, if he is established in the self, he is not selfish. If he is established in the self, right? So similarly, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, Satugunam, they will keep coming and going, but not getting attached to any of that, what it does to us, purely stay in the platform of the Bodham, consciousness. And in that way, Krishna is saying that you have to practice it and get used to it, he said. whenever anything happens in the mind, you are not able to get carried away by the mind, dragged by the mind, right? And most of the time, you observe yourself, you can see this, we are always in the mind, is it not? Always, we are inside the mind, right? Some problem comes, then I start thinking, what do I have to do now about this, right? So who is asking this? The mind is causing this question, right? And what do we have to do? We have to think at that time when problem comes that this is a problem coming from the Prakriti and mind is trying to deal with that. But I have nothing to do with it. I am separate from all these things, right? So, in other words, basically this verses is talking about going more inwards, deeper level, right? In a deeper level, becoming more and more inward. That's what is expected from that, right? And what Krishna's point is that if you do that, just like something has fallen into a well, it has gone right into the bottom of the well. You got to go down all the way down to get it. In the same way, if you go on inquiring inside, you will find finally that the Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is like a cinema coming on the screen. And when the screen, when the modes of nature stops, the screen looks very white, not affected by the modes. In the same way, he is saying here, even though these three modes of nature has come inside and gone, knowing very well they have nothing to do with your real self, Antaryami, and that is what is called as Aparoksha Bodham, Aparoksha Anibhuti. It comes from that. There is no Ryagam, there is no Dvesham. Ryagadvesham is not there. And there is no attachment or aversion or any modes of nature is not present there. And our attachment is not only to the objects outside, it's also we have attachment and aversion towards the modes of nature also, right? And that is the difficult part, right? Outside things we have attachment and aversion, but sometimes certain modes, what comes in, those modes of nature will also create attachment and aversion within us, right? And suppose you want a particular mode, that mode is not coming. Sattugunam, rajagunam, tamagunam. Say you want sattugunam, sattugunam is not coming, right? And therefore what we do is, we will be looking for that particular modes of nature. Or similarly for rajogunam, similarly for tamogunam. I don't know whether you understand that rajogunam, suppose you are in a mood to work, you want desires inside, you need rajogunam to do the work in you. You need the rajogunam, right? Only when rajogunam helps you, you can do the work properly. Suppose you are in sattogunam and you have this desire to achieve something, nothing will happen. So karmam requires rajogunam support from inside. Similarly, if you are in a mood to enjoy life, sense gratification, you need tamogunam in you. Otherwise, you are sense gratification. Suppose you are in great sattogunam and some sense gratification is there, you won't be attracted to it. You understand? The modes of nature and these things are connected to each other. If you have to do karmam, you need rajogunam inside. If you want sense gratification, you need tamogunam inside. Similarly, if you want shanti, you need sattogunam inside. That's how they are interconnected. Prakriti's way of doing things, right? So therefore, what they say is like this, that you want a particular mode inside, and we will run after that particular mode to come. In the Brahma Sutram, Ajari Swamiji says this in his commentary. How he puts it is like this, right? If a cow is standing there, if you show some grass, the cow will come to you to get the grass. And if you keep walking with the grass, cow will follow you. Yeah? And instead of that, suppose you show a stick to the cow, cow will run away from you. It won't follow you. It will run away from you, right? So, in the same way, by explaining that, our material life is defined in there. It's explained in that. Our material life is like this, right? So, if it's something we like it, we will run after that. Like the cow, grass, we will run after that. If the material nature is giving trouble, we'll run away from that. So are we much different from the cow? Buddhi is concerned. It's a similar thing. Our nature is like that. We will look at it. If it is giving me happiness, I will go after that at any cost. I'll chase it. Right? And if it's giving me trouble in life, I will run away from that as much as possible. Right? So, so what I want, I'll run after that. What I don't want, I will run away from that. Right? So this is what's happening in our life, basically. Right? So, but what happens is, in life is, that what we want to keep, it leaves us and go. And what we don't want, it'll keep coming for chasing us. It happens the other way. Yeah? So, and even if you are trying to escape from that, it will look for you and come and find you somewhere. This is all life experience, right? And that is why Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he wrote Brahma Sutra, he had all these things in his mind to explain to us, this is how life will be, right? And so he's saying here that these favorable, which we are looking for in this world, you are not able to find it. You are looking and looking and looking for everywhere, not getting it, right? And similarly, what you don't want, it is coming for you from somewhere, looking for you, right? Look at what Krishna says there. Udasinava dasinam gunair yo navichalyate gunavartandam ityeva yo avatishtadinengade. Yeah? ഉദാസീനമദാസീനം ഗുണേർയോ ന വിചാല്യതേ ഗുണാവർത്തന്തമിത്യേവ യോ അവതിഷ്ഠതി നേങ്കതേ. സോ ദിസ് പോയിന്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് നോർമലി വി സേ ടു പീപ്പിൾ റൈറ്റ്, വാദി പ്രതി, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇൻ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് ഐ ഡോ നോ വട്ട് ഇസ് എ പ്ലെയിന്റിഫ് ആൻഡ് ഡിഫൻഡന്റ്, ഐ തിങ്ക് ദ കോൾ ഇറ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്, that one who he is arguing and one who is defending, right? Vadi and Prati, right? So, and then the third one, Udasinan. Udasin means not involved in anything, independently, right? Two people are fighting each other, right? And one is arguing for himself, the other one is defending himself, right? The one who is in the middle is the Udasinan one, Udasinan, right? Udasinan means that he is the one who has to bring them into some settlement, right? To settle them together. They are two are fighting each other, right? Yeah. Udasinan, right? So Jnani is like the Udasinan, right? He is hearing so many things in this world, but he is not attached to it any time, right? Not being if you look at the Mahatmas, they all have this nature, completely indifferent to this world. It's not bothering them. Whatever happens in this world, war goes on, so many things, earthquake happens, similarly cyclones comes. Whatever happens in the Prakriti, they are able to see it like that. That it is happening in the Prakriti, nothing to do with me. This nature, Udasinan, that's what he's saying here. Udasinvadasinam gunaryona vichalyate. He won't join in anything. Whatever happens in the Prakriti, he will not become a part of it. He will stay aloof from everything else, right? So, and that means without any sangam, any attachment anywhere, right? Udasinavat and Udasinan, they are two different things, right? Udasinam is a kind of a disease. In other words, that Jnani is not a Udasinan, but Udasinavat he is, right? Means that Udasinan means he has no interest in anything. Some people are like that, is it not? They have no interest in anything. Completely indifferent to everything. That is Udasinan. Here, Jnani is Udasinavat. He is. Udasinavat means that, for example, some people say that whether you live or die, it doesn't matter to me. Some people have that approach, isn't it? Whether you live in this world, whether you die and go away, what does it matter to me? It's up to you. They'll say like that. That is Udasinan. For example, a dead body, somebody's dead body, he says, I have nothing to do with, that body has nothing to do with me, that's Udasinan, right? So, Udasinavat means that the person is concerned, right? In Krishna is saying like this, that ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി പരാരാഹു ഇന്ദ്രിയേഭ്യ പരം മന മനസസ്തു പരാബുദ്ധി യോ ബുദ്ധേ പരതസ്തു സ. ഫേമസ് വേർഡ്സ് ഇൻ ദ സെക്കൻഡ് ചാപ്റ്റർ, റൈറ്റ്? മെൻഷൻസ് ദാറ്റ്, റൈറ്റ്? ഹി ഹാസ് ഡിസൈഡഡ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി ഹൈറാർക്കി വിച്ച് വൺ സെൻസസ് മൈൻഡ് ബുദ്ധി ആൻഡ് ദ സോൾ. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ ഹൈറാർക്കി. യു നോ ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ്, ഫേമസ് വേർഡ്സ് ഇൻ ദി ഭഗവത്ഗീത, റൈറ്റ്? സോ ഹൂ ഈസ് ദ വൺ ഓൺ ദ ടോപ്? സോൾ. സോൾ ഈസ് ഓൺ ദ ടോപ്. Others, if you come down, buddhi, mind, senses, sense objects, the lowest one. Lowest is the sense objects. Then senses. Then the mind. Then the intelligence. And then the soul. So, Upanishad is saying, sa kashta sa paragari. If you look into the Kathopanishad, I think it is in Kathopanishad that verse comes, that the... ഇന്ദ്രിയേഭ്യ പരഹ്യർത്ഥ അർത്ഥേഭ്യശ്ച പരം മന മനസസ്തു പരാബുദ്ധി ബുദ്ധേർ ആത്മ മഹാൻ പര മഹതപരം അവ്യക്തം അവ്യക്താൽ പുരുഷപര പുരുഷാൻ നപരം കിഞ്ചിൽ സ കാഷ്ടാ സ പരാഗതി ദോസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് 10th and 11. സെയിം വാട്ട് ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഈസ് സെയിം. ഇന്ദ്രിയേഭ്യ പരാഹ്യർത്ഥ അർത്ഥേഭ്യശ്ച പരം മന മനസസ്തു പരാബുദ്ധി ബുദ്ധിർ ആത്മാ മഹാൻ പര മഹതപരം അവ്യക്തം അവ്യക്താൽ പുരുഷപര പുരുഷാൻ നപരം കിഞ്ചിൽ സ കാഷ്ട സ പരാഗതി ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് റൈറ്റ്. സോ ഇൻ കഠോപനിഷത്ത് ലിറ്റിൽ ബിറ്റ് മോർ ഇൻ ഡീറ്റെയിൽ സ്പോക്കൺ. ഇൻ ഭഗവത്ഗീത കൃഷ്ണ ജസ്റ്റ് മെൻഷൻ ദാറ്റ് യോ ബുദ്ധേ പരതസ്തു സാ ഹി പുട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് പരതസ്തു സാ സാർ റെഫറിംഗ് ടു ദി അന്തര്യാമി സോൾ. ബട്ട് ഇൻ ദി കഠോപനിഷത്ത് ഇറ്റ് വിൽ സേ ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ബുദ്ധി ഹയർ ദാൻ ദ ബുദ്ധി ഈസ് ഹിരണ്യഗർഭം വിച്ച് ഈസ് ദ സൂത്രാത്മ സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ ദി ഉപനിഷത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഹയർ ദാൻ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ പ്രകൃതി ആൻഡ് പ്രകൃതി ഓൾസോ മോർ ദാൻ ദ സോ പ്രകൃതി ഈസ് ഹയർ ദാൻ ദാറ്റ് ഹിരണ്യഗർഭം ആൻഡ് സൂത്രാത്മ പ്രകൃതി സേസ് ബിഫോർ അബൌവ് ദാറ്റ് റൈറ്റ്. And then he is saying there, more subtle than the Prakriti is Purusha, or what we call as Paramatma. And there is nothing higher than that. Paramatma is the highest thing. And that is the ultimate goal. So that verse in the Kathopanishad, Krishna has brought into Bhagavad Gita with that verse, Indriyani Pararahu, all that. Yeah. So, if you go in that way, Purushasya Para, Purusha is the highest, Paramatma. And one who is in that state as Purusha, he is what Krishna is calls it as Udasinavat. You see that? One who has reached that state of Purusha, he is Udasinavat. Like Andaryami inside, Andaryami is Udasinavat. Have you noticed? We are doing so many different things with this body, mind, senses, everything. Andaryami is Udasinavat. He has no interest in what you do. He is conscious of everything, what you are doing, what you are thinking, everything. But he is Udasinavat. He is not stopping us from doing that. If I want to do it, you just do it. If I don't want to do it, don't do it. That is Udasinavat. He takes that approach towards us. Jiva is caught up in all these things. Andaryami is not affected by anything. That relationship, Andaryami and Jiva, is Udasinavat. So that's what he is saying here. Why is he Udasinavat? Because he is in the most subtle state. Who? Andaryami. He is so subtle that he is not affected by anything what is happening in the Prakriti. In the Prakriti, right? He is involved in everything. And he knows everything, but he won't take sides with anything. Whatever you do, he has given you the freedom to do. And he knows very well, like in our Jiva's concept, we have got friend and enemy. It's not, we think, Jivas think like that. He's my friend, good friend of mine, like Trump says. And the next day you throw bombs at him. So this Shatru Mitram is a nature of the Jiva. Jiva thinks like that, right? So, Shatru Mitram, as far as Andaryami is concerned, he has no Shatru Mitram and all that, right? So, because he knows he is Brahman, Purusha, yes, right? So, he cannot take sides with anybody because everything is him only. So, Shatru Mitram is all like that, right? Udasinavat, right? And these are all, the Bhagavad Swarupam is this Udasinavat. You look into Bhagavadam, you will see in the 11th canto, the same thing Krishna is saying there. If you look at the third chapter, Prabuddha talks about that. Remember Navayogis. Out of that, Prabuddha is saying this. What is he saying? Sarvado manaso asangamado sangamja sadushu dayam maitrim prashrayam cha budeshwadhva yathochitam. 11:3:23. Right? He is Udasinata. Udasinata means this nature, not being affected by that. Yeah. So, Udasinata towards whom? Towards your own mind. Udasinata towards your own mind. Right? So, in order that to happen, this Udasinata to develop, Krishna is saying here two things. What are they? First one, sarvado manaso asangamado sangamja sadhushu. In other words, sangam towards sadhus, association with sadhus, right? And asangam towards the mind. If you practice that, sangam towards sadhu, but no sangam towards the mind. Sangam towards the sadhu, no sangam towards the mind. Right? Asanga manasaha, sangam ja sadhushu. He's saying that. Sarvado manaso asangam, ado sangam ja sadhushu. Sangam towards sadhu, asangam towards the mind. That's what is required. Right? That's what he's saying there. So, sadhu sangam, in other words. And what is so special about sadhu sangam? Sadhus don't have a mind. Sadhus don't have a mind, right? And they are established in the self. And association with the mind, sangam, is not good. If you associate with the mind, what it will do is, it will tell you a lot of things and misguide you and mislead you in the wrong way. The mind, what it will do. First thing what the mind will tell you is, this world is real. That's the first thing what the mind does. The world is real, right? And then what will happen is, mind will tell you, this person is good, this person is bad. In that way. It will start that way, right? And with that, what will happen? Ragadvesham will come. And then it will create vasana inside, right? And it will continuously cause problems for us in spiritual path, right? Therefore, under any circumstances, not to associate with the mind. Always to discard the mind, ignore the mind, whatever the mind does, right? And that process is what he is saying in this verse. These first two lines. Udasina vadasinam gunaryona vichalyate means these things. What means that? Sadhu sangam and asangam with the mind. And that is how you get that state. Udasinavat. Udasinavadasinam gunaryo na vichalyate. Guna vartanda mityeva yo avadishtadi nengare. So, therefore, modes of nature will come, but you won't be affected by that. No movement inside. Similarly, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, even if they come, gunaryo na vichalyate, no chalanam. Vichalyate means movement. No movement inside. Yeah? Because if they come, it will move us inside when the three modes comes in. And it will lift us and sway us away in another. Or you can say it will swept off. We will be swept off by the modes when they come. Right? So, I wanted to remain peaceful, but I couldn't. Somehow or the other, one of these modes have come and it has swept me away from the whole thing. Right? So, that is the from where they came and how they came and gone, I don't know. It has happened that way, right? That is the nature of these modes of nature. Gunam, subhav. Subhavam of the gunam. Guna vartanda mithyeva. And sometimes you can see this, right? If you look at ourselves, we have to study ourselves in these things. You didn't want to say something to somebody, right? But it came out through the... you couldn't arrest it, stop it. It came out without your knowledge. And later on you are saying, I shouldn't have said that to him. But what can you do? It came out from inside. Before you know, you have said it, right? And it has caused the problems also after that, right? So that is how the modes of nature are, works within us. Yeah. So, it jumped out of the mouth. The words came out of the mouth. Before you could stop it, it came out, right? And this is what is called the adhyasam. Adhyasam means that Gunasangam is nothing but adhyasam. Adhyasam is like that, right? So, adhyasam, what it does is, it will talk about like this, me, you, he. In this way, it will break up everything, right? And you need these three things. Me, you, and he or she, whatever it is. You require these three things for vyavaharam. Vyavaharam cannot do without these three. But in absolute level, these three things don't exist. Me, you, he, and all doesn't exist. But once you come to vyavaharam level, all these things will come in at the same time, right? So, me and you, if I say like that, there's a relationship comes from that. And if I say another person, he or she, there is no relationship. But me and you, there is relationship. Another person, there's no relationship, right? Because you are right in front of me, so we are related in some way, right? And so these three things together, me, you and he, or he or she, or whatever it is, creates a lot of problems. When you are in these three positions, right? Me, you, he or she, right? And that is what's called a material existence. Because me and you will talk about he or she. And that is how the problem starts. It starts from there, right? So if you are able to speak without this me, you and he, and probably paramatmane advaye nirvikalpam, Upanishad says that, then you are in the platform of Paramatma, Paramatma state, right? And suppose I have spoken to you about somebody else, right? I am my mind and you have your mind and that person has his mind. So all these three different ways the mind is working according to their three vasanas, right? And in this way, what will happen is that our mind will work in this way. That my mind will say something, your mind will take it in another way, and that person about whom we have spoken, his mind is operating in another level. So the mind is keep moving like this, right? So if I am there, you are there, he is there. If I am not there, you are not there, he is not there. And you can see that in Sushupti, none of them are there. I am not there, you are not there, he is not there in Sushupti. Only in Sushupti, none of them are there, right? Then what is there? Only Atma. And that is the state one wants to be in spiritual life. Me, you, he and all that is vyavaharam. It has nothing to do with self-realization. So Sushupti is always spoken as an ideal state for self-realization. Yeah. So then what happens? Only Atma is present in the Sushupti. Then when you wake up in the morning, first thing my mind has come. And then along with that, then I have come. Ahankaram comes, right? When my mind has come, my ahankaram has come, then you have come for me. For me, in Sushupti, you don't exist. But when I wake up in the morning, when my mind comes, you also come and he also comes. Or everybody else comes. The world comes, right? So all this vikalpam, what is happening, this is all go to the three modes of nature. Coming from the three modes of nature, right? That's what we call it as conditioning. Conditioning is this. That means from Sushupti, when you come to vacant state, how your world changes. In Sushupti, only Atma exists. Brahman. That is the stage. Sushupti state is. Me, you, he, she, all these things don't exist there. Right? But when you wake up, I am coming first. I wake up. That aham comes first. Then others come. He comes, she comes, you come, everybody comes. And then vyavaharam begins. And with that, you get trapped in that. So when you talk a lot, all these things will come within that. Therefore, the Shastram says maunam, as much as possible. To shut, keep shut. And when you talk too much and vyavaharam comes in, all these things will come. Either he will talk about me or I'll talk about him. And in this way, or otherwise, I will ask about you or you'll ask about me. Or we will talk about somebody else. In this way, our conversation, everything, will increase the vyavaharam, and with that, everything will get into complications, right? If you take notice of all that, suppose I am talking, I'll be talking about myself and what all I have done and what I have done, what I succeeded, what I failed. I'll keep on talking about me, right? And you will have to listen to all that. And then if you are talking about a third person, I will be start evaluating him, his good qualities, his bad qualities, and things like that, right? And mostly it is the bad things I will talk about, right? So this is in an ordinary life, in people's life, right? So therefore, Shastram is saying that to get closer to that state in the Sushupti, as much as possible to stay away from the unnecessary conversations. And these three things, me, you and he, and that is also comes in another form, me, my wife, my children, and what they have done. This is all coming from that state. Yeah, what they are doing, how they are happy, how they are unhappy, things like that. And so this conversation is normal in this world, is it not? That talking about one's own life, family life, children, their life, discussing this all the time with this world, right? So what he's saying here is that even if you are in Salsangam, you will discuss these things and analysis of that, right? This is our swabhava, that's our nature in us. And it is not easy to come out of this habit, right? And what is that is, Prakriti, our Prakriti, is caught us and it is putting us into this situation. This is coming from our Prakriti, this Swabhava, like this. And it is continuously putting us through this process, right? So, in order to come out of that, what is required is tapas. Tapas is required. And in order to have that tapas, what Krishna calls it as dhriti is required. Dhriti means that willpower is required, right? That means you have to be centered around something. And if it happens, if you are centered around the self, then this me, you, he will leave us one day. Otherwise, whole life we will be doing the same thing. Me, you and others, three, he. We will be in this triangle operating all the time. Krishna is saying that when you do udasinava dasinam gunariyona vichalyade gunavartanda mitiva yo avadishtadi nengade, that this, even though you may have to, while doing vyavaharam, you may need all these things, but even while that vyavaharam happens, that psychological movement, me, you, he, if that stops within, inside, then Krishna is saying that he is getting closer to Antaryami. That's the way Krishna puts it. That you are getting closer to Antaryami. Because you see, our normal state problem is these things, isn't it? Vyavaharam is the main problem. In Vyavaharam, these three things will always be there. Me, you, he. And Atma does not need Vyavaharam. That is the proof is Sushupti. In Sushupti, Atma stops all the Vyavaharam. And Atma is proving to us that without Vyavaharam, you can be happy. But what happens to us in vacant state, we engage in Vyavaharam, and Vyavaharam traps us in these three ways. Me, you and he. Or me, you and she. And that, whatever way that is, right? And so what he is saying here is that these words are very subtle verses, what Krishna is saying there. He has just put it in the four lines. But the practical aspect of that, that's what you have to look at. This udasinava dasinam, what does udasinam means, first of all? Udasinavat means Antaryami state. That is udasinavat. Not the other udasinan. Other udasinan in this world, some people, as I said, they don't want to do anything. Whatever you tell them, oh, I'm not interested, he says. That's one kind of udasin. That is not the here. Here, how Antaryami deal with our body, mind, senses, and keeps aloof from everything, unaffected by that. Krishna is saying, while self-realization happens, you've got to do the same thing. Because you are Antaryami actually, you are not the body, is it not? So this is the way to break away from the body and the mind and the senses and the other things. He is explaining the process, how to practice it and follow it through is our problem. It's not, Krishna can't do anything about it. Yeah. So, so when that state comes inside us, that samadhi state comes inside us, and when this thing doesn't happen anymore, me, you and he, that samsaram has gone, brahmam has gone, brandi has gone, and that is what Krishna is saying here, that gunavartandam ittiva yo avadishtadinengade. That's what is that verse means. Yeah, gunavartandam ittiva yo avadishtadinengade. That due to our previous habits, right, this gunam will keep coming again and again, and it disturbs us. Krishna says, let it come and go. But the person who has na ingade, he says, one who is serious about it, what does he do? Na ingade. Ingade means, he's saying that that whatever happens, he will remain like a rock, not allowing that to take control of him. Na ingade. And you will see this same thing. Kapila Maharshi said that, and in Ekadasham, Navayogi Samvadam, after that, also, they use the word Tushnim Shilavastidam, Tushnim Bhaved, it says there in the Ekadasham, as well in the Kapila Maharshi. Deham Janashuram Avastidam Uttidam Va, those verses, if you look, you will find there. Tushnim Bhaved, that is this state. This state is that. Tushnim Bhaved, then Shilavastidaha, Tattvam. Okay, if this is all ideal situation, right? These are the ideal. Krishna is very clearly defining the state very clearly to us. Yeah. So, after hearing Shastram, and if we have developed a sufficient maturity in us, right? It can happen in 1 second. Once if you hear it is enough. But because we are not ready, right, and therefore it is going on for a long period of time, right. So that is what he is saying here. Then you don't require any meditation or anything. Everything is over. You are established in the tattvam. No matter whatever the vyavaharam happens in this world and what kind of waves come from the three modes of nature, emotions, thoughts, and Prakriti is bombarding you with its different energies, still, because of identification with the Antaryami, you are not affected by that. Rock solid, as they say. Right? You never get displaced from your Surupam, Brahmsham, what they call it. Right? Under any circumstances, you won't move, and he is Jnananishtha. He is fully established in the knowledge. And his knowledge is Adityavat. It's like this, Krishna considers that Jnanam Adityavat, he says. In another place, Adityavat means, as far as knowledge is concerned, the sun is the authority. I mentioned yesterday that solar dynasty comes from sun, isn't it? Why sol we say like that? Because sun comes every day. And he sees everything what's going on here. He is not affected by anything what happens here. Is it not? Sun comes, he sees the war going on, what all nonsense we are doing, he is seeing that also. And he is not doing anything about it. He just goes, his time comes, he goes away. Similarly, earthquake happens, cyclones happen, and so many disasters happen, natural disasters. And added to that, we also add more disasters. Already there enough, but we add to it. Sun unaffected by anything. That is why Adityavat, it says, like the sun. Untouched, unaffected by that. Because he is the ideal self-realized person, is the sun. So therefore, he is always quoted as the example. Prakashay Adidalparam. Another place in the Tesham Adityavat Jnanam Prakashay Adidalparam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that. Tesham Adityaval Jnanam. So spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization has to be like the sun. Like the sun, you should have that. In other words, under any circumstances, you are not affected by what happening in the Prakriti. Because everything is happening in the Prakriti. Coming to that firm understanding inside and able to abide by that all the time. Whatever happened. There are examples of that in Mahatma's life, if you look. I mentioned one story. There was a devotee of Paramahamsa who was in Calcutta one day. He was very close with Paramahamsa, right? And he did not didn't get affected by anything. Lot of problems in his house. Family problems. One day one of his sons died. And his dead body was in the next room. And some people have come to see him with their problems, to discuss with him. And he told them that, "You just give me a few minutes," he said. "My son is lying in the next door, dead. And they are coming to collect his body. So if you can just bear with me, let them take his body and then we can discuss it," he said. That is Aditya Vajnanam. That knowledge, how it works inside. Totally disconnected from the world. With the body, with the mind, with the senses and the rest of the world. That is Aditya Vajnanam. Tesham Aditya Vajnanam Prakashayati Talparam. Krishna says like that in the Bhagavad Gita. So you can see spiritual realization means that the end result is this is what has to happen, right? All other upasana, sadhana processes one can do whole life, pranayamam, japam, dhyanam, everything, right? But it may give some benefit from that, but all of that is good. Nothing is said wrong, badly about it, right? But all that can help you is to get some chitta-shuddhi. Chitta-shuddhi will come from that, right? But if these three things, me, you, he, that's tribhudi. If that doesn't leave us, spiritually we are not making much progress. Japam, dhyanam, these things help for chitta shuddhi to some extent. It will help if you do it for a long period of time. But Krishna's point is this, that even if you are doing the chanting, if the thoughts are coming about people, other people, and this me, you and he, these all are coming in, right? And then you also have the problem that I am chanting, that thought also will come. Ahangaram will also come. So, that is the reason why Krishna said that before you execute bhakti, before you execute into bhakti sadhana, right, surrender first. Sharanagati is important. Yeah, you remember that he said that earlier one. Jaramarana mokshaya mama ashrite yatandiye. First you take shelter. Without shelter, if you do upasana, it won't be very successful, he's saying like that. So, and in life also you can see, at a certain stage you have no choice actually, except to take shelter. You realize it that things are not in your control, is it not? Body is going to drop one day. Wife and children, they will go. Shariram, kalatram, sudam. Then all the relations, bandhu vargam, they will also leave you. Suddenly one break, whole thing is broken, connection is broken, is it not? Shariram, kalatram, sudam, bandhuvargam, and the wealth, and the home. When everything is done in one stretch, what is happening to us at that time? That samastam paritejya, after giving up everything, kashtam, how sad it is, the jiva has to go, leave this world, ekam gamishyami, on his own, nobody there with you. On your own you have to leave this world. That's the time you have no shelter except to surrender. Krishna is the only shelter at that time. There is nobody else can help you also, even if they want to. Is it not? Imagine sometimes what can happen. This is all chances that can happen, isn't it? That suppose you get sick, and if you stay sick for 3 days, 4 days, it's okay. And somebody will give you some care and some attention and everything. If it becomes 3 months, it's a bit too much. one after the other relatives will come and visit you, then it becomes visits only. They will also come and go. Suppose you lie there for 15, 20 years sick, what will happen? They will not be able to look after you, because it becomes difficult for others also to take care of you, right? So that is what you will realize. There is no option except to surrender then. What else can you do? Surrender is the only thing that will work at that time, if a situation happens like that. So importance is surrender more than the becoming conscious of all these things, that these are all possibilities in life, what can happen. Samastam parityajya, ha kashtam, ege gamishyami, he says. You are on your own. Nobody is there to help you and nobody can help you either. What else can you do then except surrender? And that is Sharanagati. So Krishna is saying that first Sharanagati and then chant. And then the holy name, right? So Mama Ashripte Idanti, take my shelter always and then you do sadhana whatever you can. But my shelter, taking my shelter is more important. That is how he says like that. Once that shelter one has taken, then there is no selfishness anymore, pride, and I am doing that. So this Sharanagati is a key factor. And that is why he said, Jaramarana Mokshaya Mama Ashrite Yatandiye, he said. The same thing, what he said. Birth, death, old age and disease, he said, isn't it? Janma Mrityu Jara Dukkar Vimuktam Amrutam Ashnode. So those who want that, freedom from the cycle of birth and death, Jaramarana Mokshaya, what do they do first? Mama Ashrite Yatandiye. He says, they take my shelter first. So taking shelter is more important than your sadhana. Sadhana, shastram and all these things, they have limited power only. They have only limited power. But surrender has a much bigger power. That's the important thing. That's why in the Bhagavatam, ashrayam is the last one. Isn't it? After even talking Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is talking about ashrayam, 12th canto. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.